Blog Talk Radio.
You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. This is what he does.
This is JoJo Bubba right coming in the house right here. I just want to take this time out to tell you fellas about the radio show that I listen to. It's Culture Freedom Radio Network. When I like to get some knowledge from some colors, I mean some Negroes, I mean some Afro-Americans, I tune in right here to Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, I'm an old country white guy, but I loves me some Culture Freedom. Man, if they don't keep it raw and uncut and off the chain, I tells you, oh boy. Hey, y'all better keep it locked right here with JoJo Bubba, man, because this is my show. This is the station I listen to for raw and uncut Conscious Talk Radio. Culture Freedom, man, in the house. Yeah, because I got friends in low places.
Oh, yes, sir, indeed. Yes, sir, indeed. Thank you, that JoJo Bubba. Thank you, thank you, thank you, JoJo Bubba. Yes, sir. Hey, we're going to get you right there, JoJo Bubba, talking about you got some colored friends and all, but we're going to get you for that one. But anyway, man. Yes, sir. Thank you all for tuning in right here one more time to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely up in this house right here on blogtalkradio.com. And yes, sir, and thank you all for tuning in again. This is, y'all, April the 10th, 2024. We're delighted to be in the house with y'all one more time, broadcasting live right here on Blog Talk. And those of you who will be catching the show a little bit later, we greatly do appreciate you for catching the archive shows and however you catch it. Yes, sir. And thank you all for those who are out there, the new listeners out there on YouTube, for listening in on the YouTube, goddammit, get my words right, on the YouTube podcast. Yes, sir. And we greatly do appreciate y'all for tuning in as well. But like I said, y'all can catch us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Y'all want to catch the live show and call in and chime into the conversations, you can do so catching us on every Wednesdays, yes sir, on Wednesday night and Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's when we go live each and every Wednesday night and Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And the number to call in if you want to chime in is area code 319-527-6068. One more time, 319-527-6068 is the call-in number to chime in with us right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Oh, man, tonight we have a, man, another interesting topic of conversation for you right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Yes, sir, tonight we want to talk about and throw out here, hey, got a question, y'all, got a question out here. Will reparation really solve the problem for so-called Black Americans? Yes, sir, that's what we want to talk about tonight. Will reparation really solve the problem for so-called Black Americans? Yes, sir. And y'all know there's always a reason for this topic of conversations and discussions we have. I was listening to a show, a local radio station here in Memphis, and there's a guy always called in every day, every single day, always talking about reparation. And I think that's what they call him when he called in, Mr. Reparations. And he's always talking about reparations. I don't care whatever the situation is going on. He always talks about reparations this, reparations that. when we're seeing that the murdering and killing of so-called black-on-black crime here in this city, he always wants to talk about reparations. It's the answer. They need to give us reparations. So is really reparation, will it really solve the situation that we're seeing with the, you know, so, as they say, in black-on-black killings and like they say in the smash and grab, will reparations solve that? And I hear a lot of this too. They always want to say that it's a lack of jobs in our communities and things of this nature. And, you know, so if we had our reparations, and there's some of the things he'd be throwing out too. If we had our reparations, this would solve some of those problems. But I'm like, as I was thinking, I'm like, damn, sometimes when I be hearing this, they act like black folks, so-called black folks, is the only goddamn ones who's unemployed. Yeah, they are like so-called black people are the only one is unemployed. Now, we know there's a lot of stores that's closing down now in certain parts of certain communities. And like Family Dollars, they've been talking about a lot of them closing. But at the same time, as they're closing down a lot of Family Dollars and things here in this city, and I know it's happening all over, but hell, they just opened up the Family Dollar warehouse, and they just had a big job fair. Hiring 400 people and starting at $20 an hour. So at the same time, they're closing down a lot of those stores. Hell, they just had the big warehouse opening back up. 400 jobs at $20 an hour. And then I was at a Family Dollar the other day, and there was a cashier. They was having a conversation, and one of the cashiers told one other one, she's like, well, there's a new young lady supposed to be coming in today. And she said, that's if she come in. She was like, why you say if she come in? She said, because, you know, they've been saying they've been hiring people, but had nobody been showing up. So they said they've been hiring people for the job to work there, but the people ain't been showing up after they even hired them. So anyway, so yes, is reparations really the answer? Is reparations really our answer to every problem that so-called we're seeing in so-called black Americans? Yes, is it, y'all? Is this the answer? So tonight we got our brothers on here tonight on the panel again. We have Brother Alpha Male in the house, Brother Maurice David Israel, and Brother Justice in the house, and myself, Brother Aria Israel. We're in the house tonight, y'all. And hey, we're throwing it out here, y'all. What is reparations? Will reparations really solve the problem for so-called black Americans? Is that the answer? A big check, y'all. Is the check, will it solve the problem? That's what we got on the table tonight. So the brothers' mics are open, and we're going to get this thing on the ball. We ain't going to prolong it, y'all. Hey, just get it on. Yes, sir. We want to know about this reparation thing, because it's all the talk, all the way, all time. And Dave, I know when he come in, he had some interesting things he shared with me earlier. Y'all know Dave really going to get it, but yeah, he shared some things with me earlier. I asked him, hey, man, you got to bring that out on this show. So I'm pretty sure he will bring out some stuff that he shared with me earlier about the people who's pushing a lot of this reparation thing. So, yes, sir. Peace to the brothers. Peace to y'all. Welcome in one more time here to Coach of Freedom Radio Network. Everybody, mic is open.
Well, how about that? I try to get people see, hold on, Chief. Now, you wait all that time. I was waiting to let you go first. And then now you want to come on after you hear me talk. Now, I'm going to yield my time to you. I'm going to yield my time. But the next time when I ask you to step up, you always step up and bring the Bible out and throw the verse out there and everything, okay? Let's get it correct tonight, Mr. Chief Rabbi.
Okay, brother. All right, so shalom. This is Maurice David Israel, the Maurice Liberation Tabernacle Yacht. And thank you, Maurice Aria, for having me up here tonight. And I'd like to say shalom, peace and blessings to Alpha Male and Justice. You know, I know you ain't really give justice, but you don't really get justice done. But I would just say that. So
That's because you don't get justice from me. Don't worry about my justice for the world. Okay? You get justice
you get
when you
justice
deserve justice.
For the LGBT community, nigga. That's what you get justice for.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. You ravage those blow-up dolls with your justice.
Hey, just hey, Dave. You better be careful, Dave. He gonna find your reparation check like Jane Brown.
That's right. And you know, you want to keep attacking me, I'm gonna have to ask you. You know, I think you probably related to Lavelle Crawford. Are y'all brothers?
That's why I look just like him.
You do.
Yeah, I look just like that nigga. I'm a big fat motherfucker too.
He lost weight.
He lost weight.
He probably smaller than you now because he said he lost. Well, he lost weight.
He lost weight. Ain't got muscles like your damn husband, Michelle Obama.
Oh, you've been working out too. Well, that's your big brother or your little brother. I don't know which one it is, but you need to take a page out of his book.
Oh, so you a man? She a man?
Who a man? Who a man?
See how he said he need to take a page out of his book. I said Michelle Obama. Yeah, he said you need to take a page out of his book. So he a man? She a man?
No, I was talking about Lavelle Crawford, bro. You need to take a page out of Lavelle Crawford's book, your big brother.
Okay.
Are you older than Lavelle Crawford?
I need to order your boyfriend Michelle Obama's fitness book too.
Well, you know what? You got to leave that alone because she's married to Barack, and they like a power team, whatever you call it.
She got all that testosterone bouncing around her, making her more hard in the face.
Okay. You from Virginia, right?
What?
You from Virginia?
Yeah.
You was born in what year? The 1800s?
I don't know. I know I got my birth certificate. I'm like your husband's boyfriend, Obama.
I think you said you was raised on a farm, wasn't you?
Yeah, and won't Michelle Obama's man ass raised on a farm too? Before she went to Chicago.
I don't know where she was raised. I think in Chicago, but you know, I don't know, man. You've been away from a lot of people for a long time.
Well, speaking of Obama, didn't he say black people shouldn't get old reparation? Something to that degree.
He sure did say that.
What, Mr. Justice? What did he say on that about reparations, Justice?
When they questioned him about reparation, he said that he didn't support reparations and that he wasn't willing to do any other kind of interest or any kind of favors for one community over another community, you know, disregarding everything that black people been through or had gone through, that he didn't support it. So you may have a clip on that somewhere. I'm not sure.
Wait a minute. He actually said one community he couldn't do for one community.
Well, he wasn't interested in doing anything to show favor towards black people over any other people when it came down to it. So he wasn't, you know, I guess that's my answer.
Damn. Okay, yeah, you said I might have a clip. Let's see here. Let me pull this up right fast. Let me get this switchboard loaded up. I didn't do this earlier. I didn't even think about this. Yeah, shalom, Brother Alpha Male.
Yeah, I was trying to wait for a break so I could holler at the brothers. Y'all just took over 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to fight me, Alpha Male, and I was ready with a few pieces of ammunition and even a brick to throw at him.
All right, well, let's put him back in the holster for right now.
All right.
His ass went to scratch me like the little kitty cat he is.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead, Alpha Male. What's happening, my brother?
You got to throw on the tape. Oh, it's all good. I just want to get into the topic and, see how the brothers and hopefully some callers feel about it.
Yeah.
I can get into something to make the deal breaker.
Well,
I can start it off if you want. Which
making you be on topic though. You never start out anything on topic, and you didn't even put out the Bible verse tonight. Where is it at?
Yeah, and I got one quick thing since we did. Justice said about Obama. Let me do play Obama. I guess I hadn't listened to this, so this will be our first thing. Since Justice said I might have a clip. May I think this is a clip? Now this is YouTube saying Obama danced with Stevie Wonder and asked for reparations while campaigning. So let's just see what this is. I don't know.
Hello, Detroit. Oh, what's happening, Motor City? I understand this is a president who wants full credit for the economy he inherited and gets zero blame for the pandemic he ignored, but the job doesn't work that way. Tweeting at the TV doesn't fix things. Making stuff up doesn't make people's lives better. You've got to have a plan. You've got to do the work. And along with the experience to get things done, Joe Biden has concrete plans and policies that will turn our vision of a better, fairer, stronger country into reality.
The right to worship
reparation
is a fundamental right in America. And as Americans, we should be proud that people from all over the world find a home here in our communities, here in Michigan, where the right to vote.
No, that ain't shit about reparations.
This morning, California's Reparations Task Force, the first of its kind in the nation, has voted to send recommendations for reparations to state lawmakers, saying it hopes to right the wrongs of slavery as well as land, housing, and health discrimination.
My great-grandfather was a sharecropper who had 17 children and worked from sunup to sundown and died with absolutely nothing.
The task force is recommending payments of up to $1.2 million for any African-American over 70 that can trace their ancestry to enslaved people, compensating them for what it describes as harm to their health, mass incarceration, over-policing, and housing discrimination.
Land was stolen from many, as in my husband's case. My husband has the deed to these properties. That state. This land belongs to my descendants forever and ever.
Several descendants told their stories in a public forum. Task Force member Jovan Scott Lewis insists reparations are not payouts.
We are returning monies taken, returning monies stolen, returning the monies that have been lost based upon the kinds of dispossession and disenfranchisement.
But the task force's work faces two major hurdles. First, no mention of how to pay for the estimated $800 billion price tag, which is more than twice California's annual budget. And the recommendations are non-binding, meaning state lawmakers still have to approve the idea, an uphill battle.
The task force will issue a final report to state lawmakers this summer. An interim report also called for a public apology from the state to African-American descendants of slaves and others who are discriminated against and disenfranchised.
Right.
Hi, everyone. George.
So you have to I can't really find one on what Obama making that statement. That's what I thought I had the first time. But you have to prove that your ancestors were enslaved. So I guess even if they did come up with it and pass it, you're going to have to try to prove that your ancestor was enslaved to even get that money, I guess, right? But y'all go ahead. I just I don't know. So, yeah, that's, I think they just play around with that shit there.
Yeah. Well, did you notice? Did you notice they said you had to be over 70 years old?
Yeah. Now, you know, when I heard that, I was like, hold on, wait a minute. I said, hold on. He said you have to be old. I was thinking he said under, but I thought I heard over, but I thought I said, no, maybe he said 70 and under. Wait a minute. Hell no. You got to be over 70?
Yep.
God damn. Yeah. Damn. They make sure you. That's a bull crap. And that's a task force. Damn. So yeah, they know they playing the game with this reparation. They know that they know nobody's going to get it. But it just trips me out when I keep hearing all of this all the time. Like especially this guy that called in. Like everything is the answer. Reparations did. If you gave, and I'm not generalizing all black folks, but if you gave a lot of these people some damn money, I mean, I don't think it's going to really don't solve the damn problem where we're thinking. Because, shit, you look at a lot of these people. Hell, P. Diddy, them, I hate to read that damn name. You got a lot of these, like P. Diddy and all these folks got money. They got money. But look what they're doing with the damn money, they shit they got. It's not making them have a better behavior. So you just going to give a lot of these damn fools some of this money. They ain't going to do them and give it right back to the damn A-Rabs, like they favorite partners, give it back to the A-Rabs and go to these damn stores, buy up a lot of clothes. That's not saying everybody. So don't nobody get me wrong on that one. But that's not going to solve the fucking problem. Some people, you probably give them $1 million, they're going to try to flip that motherfucker with some dope. They still going to try to go ahead and flip it and go buy some dope and flip that motherfucking million with some dope. So, you know, it ain't going to solve everything. And it's not going to really solve the problem. But yes, sir, y'all go ahead, man. What you was going to say, Justin? And I know Dave said he was going to throw in something.
No, I wanted to go into something. There's a lady named that, because, you know, now, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Now, for me, when Moray Aria was talking about that, he sent me a text a couple of days ago. And, you know, he pretty much was like, you know, he had a discussion. But then he said, I want to talk about this thing with this reparations. And you know what's so crazy about that, Moray?
Yes, sir.
Is the fact that, okay, my mom, she's a coon. She always been one of the ones kind of like Uncle Tom. But when it comes time for this reparations, you know, all black people always say they got Indian in them, especially black people from the South, which she always claims. Now, Indians ain't giving out no money. They ain't giving black people no reparations cards because they don't respect the black people and the tribes. A lot of them put black people out the tribes. So when it comes time for reparations from the Native Americans, a lot of black people aren't getting that money. So, but me and my mom, you know, when we do have talk, she's been on that reparation shit for, yeah, I'm talking about for a long damn time. And when Moray brought that to me, she had just called me on the phone talking about some goddamn reparations. And I say, ain't that some shit? I said, it's funny how you went to talk about that. And I just got off the phone with, you know, my damn mama about the reparations, and I'm telling you, she's real big into that. Matter of fact, she's a big fan of some lady named Yvette Carnell. I don't know if you ever heard of her. Some light-skinned bull dagger named Yvette Carnell. She looked like the light-skinned nigga from Kid and Play. She got a little box like them and everything. You know, go look up. But she's an openly gay black woman. And she had her, it's crazy, she's always talking about reparations. Now, my mom, she always tell me about this shit, and I ignore her ass on that. I even told my mom, I said, Mom, you know, when they cut you a check, then I believe this shit. But I'm not believing this shit. So, for one, and as I explained to her, when you're looking at the people who are the head of this, you have the Tariq Nasheed, he's one of them. You have Yvette Carnell. You have a guy named Marcel Dixon. And, you know, and I'm going to tell y'all something. All of these people are in the entertainment industry. They are. Go look all of them up. They're all entertainers. So when you're looking at reparations and the people who are the front of it, they have another lady named Nicole Hannah Jones, I want to say. Nicole Hannah Jones, I want to say. She's another one. All of these people, they all have, they have like four or five different splinter groups. And, you know, I happen to tell my mom that. I said, you know, I researched this shit. See, she's just an old-ass lady that believe any goddamn thing. I don't, you know, but, you know, I have to tell her, I said, just look at the people who's the front of this shit. The people who are at the front of this are entertainers. Marcel Dixon is he's some little geeky nigga from South Carolina that's supposed to be about he's supposed to be a teacher, but then he got into like this the reparations movement, and ran up against a guy named Jim Clyburn in South Carolina, and his campaign was for to help the Gullah Geechee people in South Carolina to get reparations, because I guess the Gullah Geechee people are very indigenous to the Carolinas, and they were on record for being slaves. One of the oldest people that have been slaves were Gullah Geechee people, which no refuting that. But with this guy, his whole campaign was reparations. And he ran up against this Jim Clyburn guy, and he lost. And the story behind him, this Marcel Dixon guy is he's still on the fence for it. I mean, and this has been going on for over 8 or 9 years. This Yvette Carnell lady, when you look into her stuff, she's been doing this for over 10, 20 years. She started out with a guy named Boyce Watkins, who is just another opportunist. You know, he has a network with a lady named Michi X, who is another big mouth entertainer. You know, he has another lady up there named Vicky Dillard, who is very into this reparations thing again. And they have all movements. They have foundational black Americans that have aided us, And then they have this other lady named Nicole Hannah Jones, who you can look up. She runs an organization called the 1619 Project, which, you know, is a complete fail. All these programs have been going on for years, and they have made movies about it, documentaries about reparations, and has it came. And at the end of the day, when you look at a lot of these people's backgrounds, they're all in this Boule Divine Nine backgrounds. So this is something that we have to really look at. These people aren't, you know, when we're looking at Divine Nine, college-educated Negroes, they're not going to do nothing for you. NAACP was based off and backed by college-educated Negroes. Rosa Parks being one. That, you know, growing up, I, my granddaddy, he was from Alabama. And I used to always hear the stories about Rosa Parks and John Lewis and all that. And when I got older, I looked at the forefront of the movement. And I started to look to the background. Rosa Parks was an Eastern Star and a member of AKs. You know, when we looking at W.E.B. Du Bois, he was a member of Sigma Pi Phi. You know, we looking at Jesse Jackson, same thing with him. Martin Luther King, he was a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. You know, all of these people did not want to do nothing. And they're not going to do nothing. And they're not, they won't going to do nothing. The most that Dr. King did was help the people, the sanitation workers in Memphis get more money. That's all. But other than that, at the end of his career, he said, I felt like I've led my people to a burning building. So why are we still fighting for this reparation and we still listening to a lot of these people who are a part of these organizations? They're obviously not going to do nothing. You know, the NAACP, they had a guy who also talked about reparations back in the day named Ben Chavis. I don't know if any of y'all remember him or not, but Ben Chavis got put out the NAACP for stealing money. For stealing money. He was buying hoes, doing all kinds of stuff.
Damn.
And guess what? That reparations talk that he had, that shit went out the door.
Damn.
Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and I love Dr. Khalid Muhammad, but he was full of shit too. Because all that shit he talked, a Holocaust museum, ain't none of that shit have. A Holocaust museum was his goddamn garage. You know, he ain't had no museum. Okay, all that shit, talk about going to Howard University. Howard University, when we're looking at that HBCU, which they always go to, especially for a historically black, so-called historically black college, was founded by white folks. So you have an issue and you want something for white people, but then you go to their universities to learn. One last thing that I'm going to add in here before I start this, before I leave. When we're looking at the HBCUs, half of them were started only for to help mulattoes. They was not to help the so-called Negro out here. The 40 acres and a mule, half the civil rights leaders didn't believe in that shit. They did. They believe in getting a good education and going to school and having their own world and leaving the damn broke black average poor little nigga down in the gutter. That's what they was about. If you ask any of them, and trust me, I had them in my family. I asked them. I said, look, ask for help. I made it. You go out and make it for yourself. They don't have no respect for you. So that's why I said I'm not falling for this reparation shit, because I see the people who are in, the people who are in front is pretty much throwing you a tap dance show. That's all they doing. You might as well go on here and go to Showtime at the Apollo and listen to somebody do a artist do some poetry or rap or sing an R&B song, because that's all it is. It's nothing. They had all these Million Man March, Farrakhan, Hunt, Justice else. Just what else you gonna do? What the hell else you gonna do? Shit. Elijah Muhammad talked about reparations. That program been out there, and it's on there, what the Muslims want, what Muslims believe, and he talked about reparations. That's been the 60s. He talked about doing for self, but then he talked about he want reparations. Elijah Muhammad was ass backwards with that bullshit. Go look at it. He, do for self, don't want the white man give you nothing. But then you say in your program, Muslims won't reparations. Go look at it. It's in the back of Message of the Black Man. He talked about reparations, won't reparations. But then he talked about doing for self. That's not doing for self. You want a handout from a so-called white man. So when I look at this, if we do get reparations, guess what? What clause in there for us to not get taxed on the money? Because when we're looking at Native Americans don't get taxed. They don't pay taxes. None of them do. But your aspirations, is any of these leaders going to put clause in there for you to not get taxed on it? Are they? I don't think they are. They don't have it set up that good yet. And if they did have it set up that good, if they hate white folks so much, why would they want a handout from them? Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's just fish and bait for black people to keep voting, especially for the Democrats. Because remember when the election, I know we get Justice in here. Remember, I think it was Elizabeth Warren. I think that's who they were. When they started running, that's when Trump first ran. She started throwing that shit out there. And it was just to, you know, again, got to have some bait, fishing bait for black people to keep voting for you and to go. And all it was is just was something to study if they was going to pay. And that's all they keep on talking about. It's to study, to look at it, and to see if we and all that other stupid shit they be coming up with. Yeah, so like I said, they look at the 40 acres in the mirror. But I'm going to let Justice come up and get in here because he hadn't got a chance to say something on this yet. What do you think about it, Justice? You think that will reparation really solve the problems that we're seeing that with so-called black America? Is reparations the answer for some of this stuff that we're seeing?
Good questions, and I was excited about this tonight's topic, and it made me think throughout the day about this topic. So, yeah, will reparations really solve the problems of our community, people? And so I pondered that throughout the day, and a lot of things occurred to me once I was thinking about if we were to get reparations and what would happen once that happened. So there is a lot of people who don't claim to be black at all. But if they get pulled over by the cops, okay, they're going to be considered black. But they may be a religious group, and they say, well, no, I'm black. I'm not black. I'm Muslim. So they somehow don't see themselves as a color. They see themselves as a religion, such as like the people who are white and they call themselves Jews, that they don't consider themselves white necessarily, but they consider themselves Jews. So it's the same kind of thing. And then you'll have people who receive reparations. And then you'll have people who won't. And then the ones that do are going to be targets to the ones that don't. So it's like, okay, these people who are descendants of enslaved Africans or enslaved people from America and considered less than and not given rights and, you know, the whole thing, worked for free, sun up to sun down, et cetera, and you're in the lineage of that ancestral group, and you're awarded the reparations that your ancestors worked and did what they did, and you've been suffering ever since because of everything not being equal. So it's like they would say, okay, yeah, they got a 400-year head start on us, so we get to the line, and then they say go, and then they already have a 400-year lead. So, okay, that's what I mean by not being equal. So the ones who are black people from other regions of the country or the world, rather, and then they would fit in and blend in if they were American-made clothing or clothing that black American people tend to wear, and they would blend in. You couldn't tell the difference if they was from Africa or Jamaica or from Brazil or from Cuba. You really couldn't tell the difference. So the culture here makes them be able to blend in. However, if they wore the cultures from where they came from with them, then we can see differences of, okay, at least culture. We can see, okay, those people are from Africa. They have on a certain way of dressing. And so it stands out as, you know, African. And then these people are from Haiti or Jamaica. And so you couldn't tell the difference between them, not unless they weren't to bring their cultural things with them and their way they dress. And then they come over here and they can blend right in with us. And then so the whole thing about it is, once you are here in America and everything, and then you're a descendant of slavery and you get some reparations. So as it's been said that most people would believe that a lot of black people who would receive reparations would be spending it up pretty fast, and then it would be gone. And then when I said that they would become targets, that they would become targets to people who happen to be black, maybe not descendants of slaves in America, and didn't get anything but feel like they want to have what you have, and you're going to be a target, especially if they actually do that and say, okay, all the African Americans from the United States are going to get $50 million each. I'm just throwing something out there. So now, okay, you got all this money, and so people who have been deprived of having everything, they're going to, some of them at least, are going to look at you as a target and maybe someone they want to rob or take or carjack or whatever, because you know, have a lot of money and everything. So you're doing good as far as how your finances look and how you're living at this time with your new award of
reparations. So it will improve your status and how, you know, your quality of life for sure. But at the same time, if you're not using your mind and your whole ability to realize that, you know, okay, maybe I shouldn't live somewhere where somebody else is not doing so well, that maybe I shouldn't live so close to them, because if they see me and they don't have to have any love for me, I'm just going to be a target, because they know that all these African Americans got all this money now. Even white people will be targeting African Americans, even Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and any Dominicans, anybody, everybody will be targeting African Americans. Now, everybody not going to be a target, but a lot of people will be targets and victims and easy victims and all this stuff, because that's how they're going to look at a lot of our people. It's like, okay, whites will be jealous. Everybody's going to be jealous. Then they're going to be envious. Then they're going to be wanting to rob you and steal from you. Or they'll have the other kind of criminals who will do it in a different way, where they're going to try to get into your bank account and try to learn your PIN numbers and all this stuff, your bank account numbers or whatever it is, and steal your money in the black market or whatever you call it, you know, something like that. So you're going to constantly be under attack, and people are going to be trying to trick you out of your money. And, you know, black people are so generous. We give away a lot of money anyway, so you don't really got to rob them, you know, but they're going to be doing that. So that's just my opinion. And, you know, for me to think about it, it made me think of other things too. And so when I threw in black people not wanting to be black or claiming that they're black, and then we had this end of the Ramadan here in Philly today, and they were in the park, these Muslims were all in the park, and it's like a gathering of 1,000 people at Clara Muhammad's mosque in West Philly. And everything was going well, and people were feeling good about the day that this was Eid, the last day of Ramadan, and they were celebrating, and everything was peaceful. Then all of a sudden, shots rang out. People were being shot. People were hearing a lot of gunfire. People were taking cover. People started running, scattering. The men and the women and the children were running away from each other. The men and the women were looking back after they realized what's going on. And some of the men would try to turn back and try to help people. But at the same time, everybody was scattering for their lives. A 15-year-old was shot. A 22-year-old was shot. A couple other people were shot. A few other people. It was over 30 gunshots rang out in the peaceful break-in of the Ramadan. They call it the Eid or the Id. And this is something that was Muslims' children. And they were caught up over here with disputes from other Muslim children that live in the area, and older teens and older young adults started shooting at each other in the Id, just out of nowhere. These are Muslims' children. So,
yeah.
If they were to get some reparations, they wouldn't want it. Oh, I'm not black. I'm a Muslim. Okay, but if that money could help everybody, let's say they claim their identity. Hey, I'm an African American. Yeah, my great-great-grandmother, you know, she was on a plantation. She was enslaved, whatever the case. Instead of cutting yourself off from those roots and saying, no, I'm a Muslim now, I'm not black, I'm a Muslim, forget about my roots and anything that happened before I became Muslim, I'm a Muslim, I'm not any color anymore. I've heard this several times from them. And so they cut their roots off. They reattach their roots to somebody else's roots and be proud of it, which don't have nothing to do with them. But they attach themselves onto something else that don't have nothing to do with them. And say, you wrong if you have any, if you think a different kind of way, there's something wrong with you. Okay, it's the way that this is and all this. And so they totally outside of who they are anyway. And so this was going to come back to get them like chickens coming home to roost. Because they got too many things that they not keeping to who they are as black men and women and not some Arab foreign people that you're trying to be like and the world want to be like you, but you're trying to be like your children and your children's children.
So one quick question. You don't think the Muslims would get, if the Muslims, they wouldn't get reparation because they said they Muslim and not say, they might sound Muslim and not black.
They
wouldn't qualify for reparation.
They wouldn't want it. They ain't going to want it because they're claiming their religion over being an African American anymore.
Because here's why. Here's something, Justice. Because if we go back to slavery, the original chattel slavery here, there were Muslims in slavery as well. There were Muslims in slavery, and so they would still, because that's your religion. Okay, like you said, they may be claiming their religion, but the thing is, talk about reparations, is just a showing and proving that your ancestors were enslaved. Whether you was Muslim, you were, Yoruba, it don't matter. If you can prove that your ancestors was in slavery, held in bondage and captivity, you should, you know, that's what you give you. So it don't matter what they say they religious is. So it, because we do know there were Muslims in slavery here in America. So they can, you know, so, and then we say in African American, we know that's a new form of term though. But that's the thing. They, like you said in the thing, in that video, them proving, if you can prove your ancestors, and that's what they're trying to go with. Because it's like, damn near you're trying to go to the store and cash a check and you don't have an ID. So you can't identify yourself. They ain't going to cash your damn check. So they're gonna be some loopholes. They ain't just going to give you no goddamn money. Like, because anybody, like, we ain't just going to give you this goddamn money now. You know, where you got to prove your goddamn ancestors was in slavery. Something like mm-hmm. that. It is. So they don't care about you a fucking Muslim or Buddhist. That's irrelevant. You got to prove that your ancestors was in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that the Muslims are not going to, you know, get nothing because they Muslim, because hell, they was in slavery. They were. I mean, it was Muslims who were enslaved, but we know they will be calling black.
I like that outlook. Go ahead, bro.
Hey, Justice, but you got also, but, you know, and I don't want to back Justice on this one, but I think what Justice is trying to say is okay, it's just like the Moors. The Moors, you ask a Negro to walk around with a fez, what the fuck he is, he going to say he a Moor. He ain't going to say he an African-American.
All day.
But they wasn't, nobody was called African. But y'all pay attention. I hear what y'all saying, but pay attention. No one was called African American at that time. I hear what y'all saying. Y'all talk about, I tell you what. Ask a Moor, do he want reparations? I tell you what. Just ask them, would they take reparations? Do they get a reparation today? No matter what they call themselves, Moor, Muslim, ask them today, would they take reparations? Or do they deserve reparations? Ask them that. And see what they say. That's the question, because they all, no matter whether they are Muslim, whether they say they were Moors, because we know Moors, some of the Moors were Muslim, they all going to say, hell yeah, we deserve reparations because our people were in slavery, enslaved here. That's the point we missing. Damn the religion. We're talking about being, receiving, you know, some payments or whatever, because of
what was done to your forefathers and foreparents because of slavery.
That's why I'm saying again,
there were Muslims, there were maybe brothers and sisters who were Christians who, we know there were some people who practiced Wudum who was in slavery. We understand what they're saying today, what they're calling themselves. I understand that totally. I'm not disagreeing with that. But that does not denote that they're not saying, they would not say, hey, shit, no, I don't want no reparation. I want more. We don't need reparation. I bet you won't. I bet you, like I said, all you got to do is ask them. Ask one of them. Just go to some of their websites and look up what they're saying about reparation. I guarantee you, they was like, hell yeah, we deserve something. What you think about that, Brother Alphamere? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, yeah, it's very clear. It's kind of, I'll give you a very simplistic form of it. Okay, a woman gets married, right? Mm-hmm. She takes her husband's name. That doesn't exclude her from her inheritance because she's called by a different name now.
You can call yourself
what you like, but your inheritance is your inheritance.
That's it. Good breakdown, brother. Good breakdown. There you go.
I mean, I agree. And it wouldn't be that, okay, African-Americans, because when it boils down to it, it's only going to be a small percentage of people with African-American on their birth certificate at all. Okay, so from generation to generation, the race of who you were was right there on your birth certificate. So they called different people at different times. They called us, rather, different things at different times. So certain places and certain times, a different time period, like the 30s or the 20s or the 1890s, if you had a birth certificate, they called it on your birth certificate, the race was colored. And as you moved on up to the 40s and the 50s, then you started getting Negro right there on your rate, or right there where it says race. And then by the time you get up to about 68, 69, they start putting Black on your birth certificate as your race. And so from that point and then up to about the late 80s, they start putting African-American on birth certificates.
But okay. what does that have to do with, I'm trying to find out, what does all of that has to do with reparation?
What that has to do with it is what you're calling yourself,
what you're being called, what you've been called then, and what you're being called now.
Right.
What does that have to do with?
That's your certificate.
Okay, what does that have to do with reparation? Do you even understand what reparation? Maybe I got to understand. Do you understand what reparation is?
Of course.
What does it have to do with reparations?
Okay, anytime I've ever talked about that, I would make mention that your real, if there was to be a reparation, your proof of your certificate of your birth record would indicate that you were eligible to be, to get reparations. So if on your birth certificate it says color, Negro, Black, or African American, you're in line to get that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right. See, reparation has nothing to do with how you identify. What Sunray is trying to tell you, let's say it's almost like a court settlement, right?
Bang.
So irregardless, I'm going to use a big word, irregardless of what you're calling yourself right now, what's on your birth certificate, all they want to know if you were impacted and damaged by slavery. They don't care what you call yourself. And see, that's a slippery slope too, because we can go back to minority business and how that messed up. But yeah, it has nothing to do with what you identify. It has nothing to do with what's on your birth certificate, you know, and hell, you could be white now. Like, you could, be descended from slaves, but it's been so many generations now that you know, now the majority of your family's white. You know, so it has no bearing on, you know, what's on your birth certificate. When you go to court, if you've been wronged, you get paid.
That's it.
No, well, when I say that,
thanks,
the
bro.
When the birth certificate to me is always going to be your proof of being a descendant of the enslaved Africans in America, right? So that's what I'm saying about that. So if you can prove you were born in America and you're a descendant of these people by either having on your birth certificate, Negro, you probably won't have color because most of the people who were called colored have died off. So you more than likely still have Negro or Black on your birth certificate. You're eligible for reparations.
Your birth certificate ain't going to matter, Justice. They're going to have, you're going to have to, you know how people do, what's that, Dave said he did it. That 23andMe or something, that DNA type thing, whatever. Following your family tree. There you go. That's what they're going to try to do. They don't give a damn what's up. Because if we said your birth certificate, so everybody that has African-American on their birth certificate today would disqualify. Because we know back then they didn't have African-American. Yes, you would, Justin, because if you're claiming to be African-American, because like I said, the names changed over time. We Negro, Black, colored, all this other stuff. They want to go by, they're going to have to prove your lineage going back through that family tree. That's why some people can go through the family tree and they can find where their ancestors was actually in chattel slavery. And I'm using it in chattel slavery. And that's what they're gonna tie it back. It's just like the people talking about they are Native Americans, but you know you had the $5 Indians. You know, that shit they're dealing with the $5 Indians. You know, so you had to prove it. That's why some of these Dave started off, he was talking about the Native Americans. They'll deny as so-called Blacks today of having anything to do, like the Cherokee, for one thing. They deny the Cherokee, and I want to say it's the Seminoles and some of them. Like, hell no, y'all ain't got nothing to do with us. They won't even recognize them people today. So
that's
how they're going to go back. It don't matter, like Brother Alphamere was saying, it don't matter what you're calling yourself, because some people are halfway damn near, as we would say, European bloodline now, white. But if you still can go back and prove it, hey, that's what they're going to be going with. And that's what that even clip just kind of even told you in there. You got to prove it. Don't give a damn what your birth certificate say.
Well, that's really all the proof you need, really.
No, it's not, bro.
If you want to go and do your genealogy, that's going
to... I could have just been born in the 70s, Brother Justice. I just could have, my family could have just moved to America. In the 60s. And then here I'm born. Now, they just could have moved over here from anywhere, Haiti, anywhere. They could have moved over here to America. And then my mom got pregnant while she was here. Then I'm born in the 70s. That would make me American citizen because now I'm born here. I'm a naturalized citizen. My family has no ties to American slavery because they just moved here in the 60s. So just because it got African-American on it or Haiti-American, whatever they were. But my family don't tie into that. We don't tie in. We wouldn't have tied into American slavery.
You're going to be part of the problem because you're not going to get the reparation, and I'm going to be the target, and you're going to be trying to get my stuff.
How I'm going to get you? But you said as long as it has on the birth certificate African-American, I could be called African-American.
Okay, so you're going to make everybody prove all this stuff, but then when they
I ain't trying to do nothing, but I'm telling you, the thing, the video even told you that you're going to have to prove it. It ain't just going to give this. The video even just said it earlier,
I walk
brother.
In there with my birth certificate. That's all you need.
That don't mean shit. Don't you know Adolf? Is that not what Adolf them arguing about right now? Is that not what they kind of the argument they arguing about?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you need to find out a little bit there, brother. I want to play this one little quick snippet clip, and then I want to show some on here on the NAACP, some crazy shit they said about reparation, right, on anything. But here's a little quick clip. Let me see.
I think he was a little reluctant to get into it too much because his critics would think that this is self-serving, that it's not worthwhile for him to lend his weight into it. But he was a distinguished and able legislator, and we developed a close friendship.
Clip. I'm trying to find something with Obama. Actually, Obama saying something about reparations. I can't find. But that was saying that would Obama, President Obama, would have supported John Connors on the House Resolution 40 bill for reparation. I can't find no goddamn clip for him saying nothing for nothing. But here's something NAACP has on the website under the heading of reparation. It says several things they have on here, but one thing just caught my eye. Reparations would involve a day. You got to check this out, Dave. Reparation would involve a national apology, rights to the cannabis industry, the cannabis industry, financial payment, social service benefits, and the land grants to every descendant. Pay attention, Justice. Now, there you go. To every descendant of an enslaved African-American and black people and a descendant of those living in the United States, including the African-American slavery until the Jim Crow era. So, and which was 1965. But Dave, that was crazy. Reparation would include a national apology, but it says the right to the cannabis industry. These Negroes, they want motherfuckers to smoke. That's part of the reparation package today. Got to be motel. This on NAACP website, y'all. I ain't making this shit up. This is the NAACP website under reparations. I promise you. Yep.
Well, it is $1 billion industry.
And you know what? And that's why when you're looking at black Americans, that's why I say y'all got to get out of that simple shit like that. Like drugs, they gonna mess y'all up. Look, Aria, I believe that shit. I've heard some Israelites say, long as they got some white women, they good. I've heard shit.
That's reparation.
They gonna have karma. Yeah, you got some Hebrew Israelite, one West camp to say that the kingdom, which is their reparations. They gonna have white ladies and nice clothes, nice cars, and that's what they say. So,
damn,
Negroes are simple as hell. We ain't gonna have no good reparations package.
Yes and no. You can kind of look at anybody, like. Take, for instance, anybody that hits the lottery, their life usually goes to shit, but their life was shit before they hit the lottery.
Damn.
It don't make you Superman. It just makes you a bigger whatever you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They said alpha male. They call that the lottery curse. The curse of the lottery.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think about the mentality of a person that would play the lottery in the first place.
Mm.
You know, people that gamble don't make good decisions to start with. So now they got a pocket full of money. All of a sudden, they start making good decisions. I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, you know what? What they say, stupid is a stupid does.
Yes, sir.
You could be a poor fool. A poor fool.
Poor slum.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think it will solve the problems in any community. You know, because I can guarantee you what I see going on has nothing to do with poverty. It has something to do with satanic spirits.
Come on, bro. Break it down. Break it down, Alvin, man. You teach it that good.
Well, I knew you, and I'm going to start calling him Chief Rabbi Casper. He like a ghost. He want to hide. But But yeah, we have a demonic spirit problem, you know, because a brother, see, I was explaining to a work crew just the other day, you know, because they were from the city, you know, and anytime, especially when I know somebody's an ex-con, you know what I mean, I'm trying to bring them up. But they still got that same old city mentality, you know, where, first of all, they didn't even know black people lived out here. You know, I'm like, you know, you got to broaden your horizons. And secondly, you know, what y'all think y'all fighting for, you're not. Because it's the motherfucker standing next to you that is causing you all your problems. You know, it's not an outside force, you know. There was no outside force that stole my shit. There was no outside source that shot at me. You know what I'm saying? These were all people that looked just like me. You know? And yeah, so they were like, man, you know, yeah. Because when I was in the joint, I was like, look, I'm Tri-J. You know? Shit. Nah, I ain't learned this shit in a book. But yeah, so, no. Nah. Yeah, so yeah, if we, somebody sent me a video, and I forget my man's name, the black dude, he was talking to somebody from the Panthers.
Oh, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes, Jesse Lee Peterson. And what I heard the young brother say that really stuck with me, it was like, we need a new religion.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is he talking about? You know? And the way he broke it down, did you send that video to everybody?
No, I don't think I did. No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I think I might have sent it to Dave, I think.
All right. Well, he was explaining it's not simple enough just to say, okay, let's take the existing religion and just turn the characters black. He said that's a waste of time, you know, because psychologically, in their mind, they still see white Jesus when you say Jesus, you know. He was like, we need a whole new paradigm. We need a whole new religion. And not in the sense of a religion to where, you know, we have to choose a God, but one that gets back to the to basics, you know what I mean, about our conduct, you know, raising families, getting married, you know, taking care of your kids and all that kind of good stuff, you know. So, yeah, so all the money in the world can't buy that.
That's right. And, brothers, we got a call online. We got area code 510, area code 510. Peace, welcome in to Culture Freedom Radio. And what's your name, brother?
You call me Rich Cannon.
All right, Rich Cannon. Yes, sir. What's your thoughts on this topic of the night?
As far as reparations are concerned?
Well, we're kind of going, will reparations really solve the problem for so-called black Americans?
Well, I think we're at a stage now where we don't need to identify every one of our people by color now. I think we've been in America so long in this new world, Western world, that we exist in different demographics and pockets. As you explained earlier about a piece that you read in NAACP, I personally have not met anybody, and I'm glad, I have personally not met anyone from the NAACP in my life, unless I'm looking at Channel 9, KQED, some CBS broadcast, unless I walk by the building. But personally, I've never met one. People like Colin Powell, I've never met anybody like that, ever. Will Smith, I've never met anyone like that. So they're like, I'm just giving examples, but there's these different demographics, and they have different ideas. Some of them are with the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, Baptist, Methodist, Nation of Islam. You got the Egyptian thing. You got the women with their own culture now. excluding black men. So it's like at a stage now where it's like we have to be identified by pockets of ideal.
Well, can I ask you
people who think like this? Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. So ultimately, when we, you know, speak about reparations and would it improve a community, it's just people directly affected by chattel slavery, not a bunch of groups and, you know, identities and location, demographics. We're talking specifically just people who were directly affected by chattel slavery. So just focus.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, just like, you know, I was looking at something today. It said that people of Mississippi were freed from slavery in 1995. Can you identify with that? I can't. So, I mean, it speaks for itself. We're in different pockets. But will it help a community? To answer your question initially,
yes
and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. Yes and no. There are some people that are going to say, hey, I got this money. I can get the heck out of here. Oh, I can be a passport, bro, and I can get all the way out of here. And there are some people that will be like, hey, I don't have to work. I can sit here. I can eat takeout all day. And, hey, you know, and there's some people that will go back to school and later move out. So it's a lot of different variables. Ideally, in the old black ideal, everybody will just all simultaneously pull themselves up to the bootstraps just so we can look back and say, hey, I wasn't all those things you called me. But it has to be for a bigger reason than that at this point, and at least going forward.
Hmm. Yeah, gotcha. So I think we basically agree on most of that, yeah.
Well, you know, I heard someone earlier mention, you know, we got to go back to the basics and the gods and all that, and that's a very tight space. Do we actually have a reference point for that? A working reference point from A to Z? Any. Now, mind you, there's over 10,000 different cultures in Africa. How do you make a culture when all else fails? What did people do when a drought hit or flood or another nation took over or there was a merger between another nation and a nation? Then what do you do? And these are the things you got to look at on a fundamental level. But I will say, as far as people coming together and creating a religion, a culture, and possibly a language later on down the line, whatever that looks like. I do know specifically it was only the adept high priests and the holy fathers that teach the people language, the arbitrary symbol behind numbers and letters, and they go on from there. The customs and rites, you cannot get married unless you've gone through a custom and initiation rite, or at least several of them, before one becomes an adult. So they're already engrafted into those customs of what is marriage, what is a funeral, what is a holiday, what is a sacred day. There's social and education titles, their guild titles, their order titles. How do you make these titles? You know, those are things that you have to go through if you wanted to start over. At least in what I'm finding.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, and I'm also looking here on the NAACP website again. I was looking at something they're saying. And it's just talking about, they're just going through different stages and different things of past that was dealing with so-called reparations, because they talked about the 40 acres and the mule. And, yeah, mm-hmm. that's the one that some of my people need to go back when, hell, well, after slavery, the descendants of, well, those let from slavery at that time did receive a form of reparation. But and what happened again, we go back to the Democratic Party again, they took it from the people. Mm-hmm. They took it back. They they was the damn, if they were to call somebody else Indian givers, they were. So they took it back. And they the primary, the main ones out here screaming about reparations today. And they know damn well, full well, they don't have any intentions of giving reparations. But this thing here talked about on here, it says, whereas in the first order, the NAACP should support reparation for black people in America, in the U.S., we need a race-centered economic empowerment package for African Americans that build generational wealth. That's why they say again, well, it's one of the things they're using as their reasoning.
Okay. I mean, for generational wealth, I would presume that's a stepping stone. But the rubber meets the road when eventually you talk to landowners and you want to make a negotiation, you want to make a bid, or you say, hey, you know, I want this rice field, or all it takes is a couple of black guys or a couple of, you know, a couple of our people to say, hey, we want this cotton plantation. We might be the number one cotton distributor in the world again. What if something like that happens? That would change the entire dynamic of how this planet's structured. All it takes is a few good ideas. So I think something really good can come out of it. The possibilities are there. They're definitely there. The innovation is different than what it was, I would say, in our community 20, 30, 40 years ago. Everybody wants to be a so-called boss and entrepreneur. That's a big thing now. So maybe that'll play a role in our choices around the economic markets. But I would presume, and I will say, that the next stage will have to be in the world markets, metals, whatever that's going across the ocean, some type of commodities, currency. Like, we have to have a big hand in it, at least in a few industries. And it doesn't have to be all 75 million of us. It can be 20,000 of us, 10,000, 5,000.
Yeah, and you know what, and really we're coming up with this because, as we were saying, a lot of people like to, and I noticed a lot of people like Brother David was mentioned, Rabbi Dave was mentioned earlier, that some of these people who's pushing this stuff, like Boyce Watkins, I forgot all the people who named you said, Dave, but I noticed a lot of them always pushing this economic stuff, the economic thing. And I notice there's a lot of them who always, that's what they always into, the economics, talk about economics, you know. And I ain't going to say Clyde. What's the brother? I forgot the name. Brother Claude Anderson. Clyde Anderson. I don't hear him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he pushed this, but I know there's into the economics. But if we look at a lot of this, because some people I hear always pushing, like all the problems that we're seeing, like I said, just like you looking at some of these places like Memphis and Chicago, they're doing these smash and grab, and people will throw out when people talk, hey, man, this is a problem. Well, if we had reparations, they wouldn't be doing this. It's like crazy stuff like that I'm hearing a lot of times when we're bringing out, like I said, the murder rate that's happening among so-called black people. They bring out reparations. You know, I'm like, God damn, y'all think just reparations is going to do everything? I mean, come on now. You can give them fools money. If they are damn fools, money ain't going to solve that. We have to change the mindset of the people. So that's kind of like what we're saying. That's why you pay attention to it. It says, well, reparation really solve the problems. The problems.
Yeah.
Because, like, money is not going to just solve it. You can get anybody some goddamn money. And some people are not financially. You just give a, like, some people, they're not, we don't know how to deal with finances. So giving them money is not going to solve a lot of things. And we look at a lot of things, we listen to some of these economists and how a lot of them talking about maybe the dollar's declining. They talking about going over, hell, what if they give all black folks, yeah, we're going to give y'all this $1 million. We got $1 million, we're going to give y'all this money. And then as soon as they give it to all the black folks, shit, they go to Bitcoin. And but you got all these goddamn greenbacks. You got all the greenbacks, and it ain't no damn good. They going to Bitcoin, some other currency.
Oh yeah, there will definitely be that. I mean, it needs to be developed. in an economic sense. I mean, it would take years of study, and not even years, generations of study. That's where the economic wealth comes in, at a grassroots stage. But as far as finance is concerned, we won't go hungry. You can pay your phone bill, you can pay your bills. You can go out and, you know, treat yourself, get yourself something nice, go on a vacation, probably put yourself back to school. That's here or there. But the one main thing with those murders, black people killing each other,
yeah.
You know, it starts with the informal education. Some people say, well, what the hell is informal education? Well, it's about principles, the pride and the family line that has been developed or is being recreated, the ideals, the history of the family, the expectations of the family. I also looked at, I think it was a Jewish guy, and he was talking about some book that he wrote. And it was basically, and I kind of skimmed through it, shame on me. And they were saying, like, the job market is what you work at UPS and McDonald's, you know, the stuff that young people usually do. If, you know, if you don't have a real good education, you need to eat now and pay bills now, you go into that type of work field. But anyway, he was saying those jobs are not, and I'm paraphrasing, those jobs, those markets are not the promises of Abraham. And we're going to fulfill those promises. So we're going to be in the world markets. And then he started giving on type of lessons of things he would teach his sons and how the wife is and so on and so forth. So I'm saying that to say that informal education is step one. Step one. Yeah, there's going to be the so-called black-on-black crime. I mean, there's 7 million of us or more in North America, United States. I mean, I don't expect everybody to pull their pants up. But I think that reparations and an informal education will raise the morale. And I think that's the problem with any nation of people or any group of people, period. Anywhere, the morale has to be high. So if the morale is low, you see these things out here that we're seeing now. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And the way that black males are being disrespected by our female counterpart is unprecedented to anything that I've seen as a child. I mean, some of that stuff was horrific. And I've been listening to rap music for 30 years, my eyes buffed open. That should tell you something. We're going to have to start making choices that our great-great-grandparents didn't have to make. We might have to make a decision that we made 1,000 years ago. You know? What happens when the morale is so low and the women are, like, you know, using the certain type of language towards us in front of the planet?
I got earlier saying about
the white woman thing. Let me get on that.
Oh, David.
Let me get on that for a second. Yeah, I'm going to get on that. Women come with the territory of being a man, period, with or without resources. We see it in Black Europe. They got statues and busts outside of resort hotels in Europe. We have them there. We have them in England. We got them here. What's the problem? And I'm starting to sense that is it because of what happened in the 20th century with Malcolm X, what he was saying about the house nigger, the Tom, and the white woman, you won't be good unless you got a white woman in the Cadillac. Is that what we're getting it from? Like, how?
Dave, you going to dress that one, Dave?
They're women. We can spin this around. We can spin it around. What about them little tribes, some of those tribes in Africa that are fighting right now? Should they reproduce with each other's women? And they've been beefing for a very long time.
But see,
for a very long time.
let me explain the point, because I don't know what Dave might be busy. Let me explain the point why Dave brought that out about the Hebrew Israelites that he's talking about. I don't know if you know too much about. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave. Break it down, Dave.
I was hearing it, and I'm sitting up there listening to you, and I'm kind of trying to understand where you're coming from. See, for me, when it comes time for Israelites, this is not a religion. And I explain that to everybody. We are not a religion. When you're dealing with tribalism and all that, we don't get into that. We don't. We're over here at Liberation, Tabernacle of Yah, which the organization which I belong to and Moray REI Israel belong to, we don't deal with that nonsense. That stuff that you hear, like I was bringing about earlier, I was giving an example about Israelite camps out there in One West. Those other Israelite camps that stand on the corner with Earth, Wind, and Fire uniforms on, yelling and screaming and hollering out the top of their lungs. We don't get into that. We deal with righteousness. We dealing with going back to our culture. That's all. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Me and Moray REI, we talk about this all the time. We have more in common with the white Jewish community than the black Israelite community. We do.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
listen to,
I don't doubt that.
Hey,
I don't doubt
it.
I mean, I've seen and encountered many, many different nations and its representatives. Many.
Yeah. And they
for
talk
years.
Trash. That's not us. We look, me and Moray REI Israel, we talk about, we quote Rabbi Tovia Singer. We quote Karaite Jews. Because these are, look, and some of these people, we put that out there all the time. Some of the best teachers in Israel are some of the rabbis that you got out here.
I would think it would be, considering that it's a Judaic religion, right?
Well, we're not okay, when you're talking about religion, we don't get into religion. We deal with our culture. You know, we've been Hebrews from the beginning of time. Since the beginning
and
of what, time.
Now, before you continue, would you say that there is a thin line between culture and religion? And if so, how do they conjoin together?
Well, I
wanted to go one thing, Dave, just explain one quick thing if your mind should like. Because what you were saying before we get out of that right fast. Now, what I think what Dave was asking, why he brought that up about them saying about the white women, right? I don't know if you know a lot about some of the Hebrew Israelite guys that be on the corner hollering, kicking, and screaming. Now,
yes,
most of them, they kind of promote what they call black, some people might call black supremacists or black separatist group. We'll say black separatist group. And why Dave brought that up is they'll teach all of this stuff against the white man's so-called their separation, but when they get to the kingdom, they're going to have white women. That's what he's bringing. You preaching all this black separatist stuff. The white man is the devil and so on, so this and that. But now when you're saying when you get to the kingdom, all of a sudden now you're going to have white women. So that's why Dave is bringing it. So it's like you're being hypocritical. That's why he brought that up. It wasn't about promoting interracial marriage, non-interracial. That wasn't the issue.
Let me tell you real quick. Just one second, please. All this comes with the territory. I've seen them. I've seen almost all of them. All the different black think tanks. All of them. And most of them are outdated. Far outdated. very outdated. I mean, they have leaders, some of us have leaders that were never leaders of their regime. So it's a very difficult situation to really think through and analyze on a realistic level. Just like when you said earlier, when you came on, you don't know where I'm coming from because I wasn't being personal. I was just giving an analysis. So, the thing about some of the Israelites, I mean, there's a lot of different camps. I remember some of the old ones with Yahweh and Yahweh, and there was another one, GMS, the Great Millstone, and they were real big. Then you had one in New York, and I mean, sorry, not New York, Chicago, with, I forget it. I can't remember his name. General Yohana, I think that was his name or something. And then you had another group that wore all purple.
And we're not affiliated with none of them. That's one thing about Liberation Tabernacle. Yeah, we're not affiliated with none of them. They ain't nothing to us. They can come on right now and talk to us. And we'll have a regular dialogue and tell them that they ain't right. You know, we don't have nothing to do with Shema Israel either. We don't have nothing to do with none of them. Shema Israel, Cape of Funye, we ain't got nothing to do with none of them. Liberation Tabernacle, y'all ain't in no unity camp with none of them. I tell you this too. We ain't on, and we sure as hell ain't on Sarnetta TV. And Sarnetta tried to come at us plenty of times. And guess what? We shut his ass right on down and tell him to get the hell out. Because we ain't with that. We don't care about all that camera in your face. And that's right. And stand out there like Suge Knight said, all in the video. We ain't into all that. If you look at Liberation Tabernacle, yeah, YouTube page, Maurey Ari, he get more hate messages from Black Hebrew Israelites than white Jewish people. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
You get Messianic brothers. We had Messianic brothers who we thought was cool with us. And guess what? They come on, man. Y'all teaching wrong. They come on the channel talking crap to us. We're like, oh, I thought you liked us. They come over there, shalom, shalom. Peace and blessings and all that. But then when they hear us teach, man, y'all all lost. What? I'm being serious. We get more hate mail.
What are these arguments about teachings? How are there arguments about teachings? What are these teachings that are so debatable?
Look, when it comes time for debating, ain't no debating talk. We don't
debate formally. I didn't mean debate formally. I'm saying what is the conversation that's not meeting its point between you and the other Israelites. So what are these teachings is my initial question.
Well, for one thing, they love Jesus. They believe Jesus is Black. We don't believe in Jesus. We don't. They believe Paul. They believe Paul is the new Moses, and they believe Jesus, Yahweh Shai, is the new God, is the new Yah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe in none of that. We hate Paul. We hate Jesus Christ. We don't believe in Jesus. We don't believe in Jesus. Jesus don't exist. And that's where they hate us at, because we just
Hey, Dave. Now, I have another question. I got another question for you. When you enter into these discussions, or even before you engage in these conversations with these guys, what is your what is your drive? No, well, not so much what is your drive. What is the end game?
Well, we really don't have no discussions with them. We don't do debates. We don't do all the debates like you see on YouTube. Nah, we don't do that. We just do our videos on our channel, and, you know, they might come in and maybe comment. But, nah, we don't get time to debate. It's a waste of damn time. You know, we don't do that. It's just, but our thing is we don't teach. I think, and I'm going to let, I hear Alpha Male want to say something too, but one major thing, we don't teach this whole thing like a lot of them teach. Deuteronomy 28 and 68 is about how black people came over on slave ships, and that's why we're in America, because of slave, I mean, you know, a curse and all. We don't teach all of that. See, we don't have time for all of this victim mentality teaching. We're trying to teach our people, man, to lift yourself up. I mean, you know, get yourself correct, work on yourself. We don't have time to be teaching no victim mentality, because if they teach, again, Deuteronomy 28, is because of a curse. Now, according to Deuteronomy 28, it talks about how Israel, if they don't follow the commandments of the Most High, they're going to be cursed. And it says that I will turn you over to the hands of your enemies. So if they're saying that they are, if they believe it like they read it, right, and they're saying that they are the Israelites, so it's that you did something, and that reason you went into captivity, or the Most High allows you to go into captivity. So why are you sitting around blaming someone else for what you did wrong? So we don't teach that. We don't teach all of that stuff like that. So we don't get into that. We just try to teach our people, man, hey, live a righteous life. Live, you know, treat how to treat one another, and how to live out the commandments of helping somebody, like the poor and all of this type. We don't have time for all that. All that the white man this. No, we ain't got time for that. And we see how black people are treating each other. We ain't got time for that damn foolishness. So that's what we don't teach. And that's why a lot of it, they might not agree with us, because we're not trying to teach black people to be victims. But I'm going to let Alpha Male say something. I heard your brother wanted to say something.
Oh, that's
you
fair.
What's your name, Alpha Male?
He explained it very good. Go ahead, Maureen.
Well, you covered it, brother. You covered it.
Yeah. Oh, my bad, Alpha Male.
Yeah. No,
I know you got something else you can add to it, though.
Not really. Not really.
Okay.
I'm lying. It is a multifaceted issue. But,
yes, sir.
You know, one thing we have to keep in mind is that, you know, black folk or any folk, white folk, like, we're not all the same. Like,
yes,
we're not this group, like people, you know, group us. You know, everybody has individual thoughts and individual beliefs.
Yeah, I said that earlier.
And I like to get back to the point of, you know, would reparations help? You know, solve problems within our communities.
Right.
And I say emphatically no.
I agree.
I agree with you, Alpha Male, on that. That's a hell no. Hell to no.
You know, it's only two people on my street that actually clean their sidewalk or clean around their trash cans. Just two. You know, so I can't see anything helping those kind of people. They're comfortable where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's all I got to say about that.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Hey, Alpha Male, and you did a great job of saying that too. And Maury Ari, you did a great job on that too. And I'm gonna piggyback off of what Maury Ari said too, for you too. Is when it comes time even for the teachers, when me and Maury Ari teach, and especially when we teach it, we tell them, we said, look, y'all got to do this. Y'all got to do that. Y'all got to fix your life up. These guys want to say, well, when your house shall come back, she's going to fix it up. You can't wait on no damn man to come fix your damn problems.
That's funny. We had that conversation. You know that the silent generation had this conversation with each other in the black community. where the Lord is going to come very soon. It might come next week. Well, hey, you know what? We got to get out of these fields. We got to get out of these conditions and these areas, and we're going to have to open up a store. We can't wait for the Lord. We got to open up a business. And it's just kind of ironic that that conversation played itself out again in real time. Kind of like how the Bible does. You know, there's like, yes.
Can I ask you something? Now, when you say you're, now, when you're talking about, you know, the Israelites you encountered, and I noticed my statement kind of triggered you a little bit. When you heard me say earlier how you got Israelite camps that believe reparations should be owning white folks and sleeping with the white women and all.
I didn't hear that part. I just heard the part where the guy, I don't know the host's name, where he was, I guess, paraphrasing. He was saying that I think it was just the part about, oh, they believe in separatism or something like that to that effect, and they want white women in their kingdom, and that was it. I think there may have been something else, but what you're explaining, I don't.
And I noticed that kind of triggered you a little bit because the way you asked about it. Now, this is something reason why I said kind of, I think kind of triggered you with that. And you say you met different Israelite camps and you encountered plenty of them. Now, I don't know your demographic. Are you in like New York, Philly, Jersey? Because if you're in any of those states, I can see why you can't stand them.
Oh, no, I'm in San Francisco area. The majority of the ones that I have seen out on the storefront that were Hebrew Israelites were, like, allegedly from, like, the other tribes, like the Native American and the Latino, quote-unquote. That was the overwhelming majority that I've seen in this location.
Okay. Yeah. Now, no wonder why, because I've seen Israelite camps that have camps in San Francisco, and they teach some crazy shit. I've heard of them, and I'm like, what the hell? And I'm pretty sure Moray Ariyah, you see some of them, they got one brother named, what's his name, Gorilla Hebrew.
Oh, yeah.
He's out there in Cali. Some of that shit I've heard him say, pump your brakes. You know, I'm like, pump your damn brakes. And me and Moray Ariyah, we were talking about that yesterday, how a lot of them, especially a lot of the camps, they look like Crips and Bloods in pimps. They talk like pimps and Crips and Bloods. I'm talking about a lot of the Israelite camps. They talk like pimps and Crips and Bloods. If you hear, especially we hear, you know, was it ISUPK? And Moray Ariyah, he talked about this a long time ago. Listen to their music. Their music is no different than listening to Player Fly. Yeah, you got a lot of those guys are rappers that stand out there on the corner and teach. A lot of them, they rap. They sound like you might well listen to 8 Ball and MJG.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I didn't laugh like that.
A lot of those camps, they sound like they on some street stuff. They carry themselves that way.
Yeah.
I know since the mid-2000s, probably. I would say since the advent of YouTube and the conscious community that has gone viral, at least in the internet world, a lot of those people who have that type of style and conduct, quote unquote, have made their way into all the black facets of communications. I mean, they flooded the RBG Crow Black thing. You have a whole lot of black female strippers that are reading tarot cards now, like you wouldn't believe, wearing Urea crowns and naming themselves after ancient women. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
And David, I was thinking about, you know, I know why you said, he kind of felt some type of way, because you heard Dave, what he was mentioning about, like I said, about the white women. They said when they get the kingdom, they were going to have white women. So you asked, well, what would be the problem? Because wouldn't that come with the territory or something, like you said? That's why Dave said he kind of, think you kind of took that some kind of way. That's why he said that. Now go ahead. Say what you said again, so we make sure we get it correct. We don't want to misquote you. Now, what did you say again? So we don't want to misquote you on that.
Cool. Me?
Yeah. When they get to the kingdom, they're gonna have white women. Now, what did you say again when you asked that question? Like something like, what would be the problem with that or something?
Yeah. What's wrong with women?
No, he mentioned women. White women, not women. He mentioned like so-called white women.
Yeah.
Not
What's
women.
The okay.
With them having white women.
Yeah. What's the problem with that?
We didn't say it was a problem. Like I said, that's why I made when you asked that question. That's why I clarified it. What they said, they are basically separatists. They don't call themselves separatists, but they are claimed to be separatists or whatnot.
Yeah.
But they are say when they get to the kingdom, they're going to have white women. That's why they was mentioning that. That's why I clarified. But you saying what's wrong with that? Like, we didn't say that. They were just making a statement about what they teach.
Oh, well, you know, I understand. And I'm glad we got that out of the way. It's just the bad conversation right now. With the things that we're seeing on the internet, the black male female relationships, the contemporary black female male relationships, it's gotten to a point where it's almost unmanageable. And I'm not ashamed to say it. If we had a king or a leader or some type of representative like we had in the old times, I would say the same thing. You know, I'm going to approach with my grievances. Hey, look at my airhead. Here's what we've been through. Can we fix this? How can we fix this?
So let me ask you something. So what if they said they shouldn't have white women? What if they was teaching that, like they said, we don't need no white women, even in the kingdom. We just need all black. So would that be a problem? We don't want nothing to do with white women.
No.
Would that be a problem?
No, because I guess their cover for that would be like, this is their kingdom and they have no weakness at this point. So I guess there would be no room for exploitation on any party of the female racial dynamic. So I guess I'm not co-signing. I'm not saying that I'm a Hebrew Israelite.
You kind of get muffled a little bit. There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a Hebrew Israelite. I'm just like looking and observing and responding.
Because reading, I'm asking that now because you're saying what's wrong with it. So I would have to go back the other way. Okay, because it's like,
you kind of
it was something wrong with them saying if they didn't deal with white women. So now I'm asking, what would be the problem if they didn't deal with white women? Would it be a problem? Because you're saying,
no.
What's wrong with women? What's wrong with the white? So it would be a problem because they chose not to deal with white women?
Yeah, well, here's where I come from in all that. The race of women, especially, how can I start with this? I mean, there's a few angles. I mean, I don't have, I guess, a dog in the fight, or I don't have an investment in who these guys should choose as their consorts or whatever the deal is, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. I have no problem with that. White, black, whatever. I don't have a problem with it. I just have a problem with the contemporary state of African Americans, and that was my initial reason for calling in. You know,
yeah.
I had to talk to somebody, and, you know, have a conversation some kind of way and engage in a dialogue. I do often get passionate. I try to keep myself reserved, you know, and not just like or prejudge anyone who comes from a different circle or a realm of philosophy, so to speak. You know, I try to remain as neutral as possible and keep a listening ear and be patient.
Now, when it comes to women, what I would really love to see,
yes,
is a real woman. That
a real woman.
Yeah, without the fake eyelashes, the makeup, the fake hair, the fake booties. Basically, I want a woman that doesn't present herself like a transvestite.
How clean. Yeah, it's funny to say that because I had a conversation with a brother from a remote area where it's not a high black population. And we were kind of having a like discussion, and he said, I don't understand why black women wear wigs like old women. I've never heard a black man say that before. And I was just kind of taken by it. And when he said that a lot of the women are getting DLs or butt injections, fake butts, it's like, why are you getting into the butt? Like, that's insanity in itself. And there's too many things to think around, and it's not worth thinking around because it's going to wear you out. It's just like something that needs to be corrected. We can identify that there's like some type of esteem or some type of wild spirit problem. Okay, we can identify what that is. How do we move forward with this?
What I witness is entertainment. So everybody wants to be their favorite entertainer. So whatever's hot at the time, you know, they kind of flock towards that. It's like they have no desire or basis within themselves. Everything's external, you know. So for I don't know. Is that self-esteem? Is that showing out for some reason? I don't know what that is.
It's a culmination of all those things.
Okay.
You know, I mean, every household, I mean, has its similarities and then also has its differences. There are some women who are already being told that they're already aesthetically pleasing, so they want to add on to it, I guess, exaggerate beauty. And there are some that don't see that at all. And they're like, hey, I need as much L'Oreal as I can possibly get. So I guess, you know, the question has so many variables, even though we looked for a poster child and we never found one. Even if we did, I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't hold because there's so many different dynamics.
Let's take it back to opportunity, right? So
okay.
It's kind of like on a job. So it appears that they used to say blondes have more fun?
Mm-hmm.
So in their mind, they think in order to advance, they have to become something other than themselves to get the recognition, to get noticed,
yeah,
to get the money.
Yeah, yeah.
So you...
Yeah, I mean, I will respond to that with yes and no. I would only say yes is because you do need to develop, we do need to mature, and we do need to learn as much as we can. So I guess that will be the developmental stages outside of vanity. But when it goes into just pure vanity, I mean, how much advancement can you get? There's old folklore, yes, in Dark Ages Black Europe, where there's stories of people who, oh, they're oh so concerned with their beauty and eventually fades. Or they have everything and everything they touch turns to gold. Maybe one day, not in our lifetime. Maybe one day we'll write folklore and legends to teach about lessons of how human life is, and these are the things that can happen to us, and these are the things that can happen if you walk this path. Or here's a path that some of the elders took, and here's a story about it. We're not at that stage now. We're at a blackout period. And I do believe that this blackout period is fertilizer for the future.
Now, let me ask y'all this question. Do you think if just us men, because no women are calling in. Now, if we take back control of our homes and just start there, do you think we can make a dent in the behavior?
Yes, but how many more dents can you make? I mean, you want to punch birds, not just make a dent. Sure, you can make a dent. But here's the thing, though. By the way, are the future generations going to have enough money to buy a house and raise a family in it? It doesn't look like it right now. Black and white.
Yeah.
Black. This country is starting to look like the way it was when it started.
you are correct.
You know? I mean, yeah, it's going to make a dent. But, like I said, and I don't think I added on to this, or, you know, when I said that only the adept can give you culture, religion, and language and teach math, they also teach the civil ethics. And there has never been a time in the Earth's history where the adept and the high priest do not lead the people. They're over the kings and queens and all the other dignitaries. And then you have the people. So now this will be the first time in history where the people are going to take the shot and take the stance as the high priest. Will it work? I don't think so. I really don't. It's not designed to be that way. All these other people who are standing upright, they have that in their voice and they got it in their background. Their folklore, even if they're Muslim, even if they're Christian, even if they're Jewish, they still got the old one hanging in the background that keeps all the legends from the old.
You're breaking up again.
All of them. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying that all the nations today are standing up by the teachings of their high priests and their high orders, the people who gave them their religion, their language, their customs, and their culture. They were the innovation, and the people moved on from there and went on to innovate other people in other parts of the world. But when it comes to just the clergy right now, we call it missionary work. But this has always been a thing. Now, I think where I got broken up at is when I said that the common folks, the common black folk, are going to try to do the things that the high priests have done in the old world, what the common folk have never done, even in their freedom, even if we got flamingos running around with gold necklaces. Still, the high priests are the ones who innovated us, and it's always been that way. And right now, we're going to try to take a shot and try to be that person, and that's a hard thing to do, very hard. I mean, and I take a look back and I look at all the things a lot of the people have said, a lot of the things the black people want. and a lot of their our complaints that we want our language and our religion and our customs back, and we want that. It can only come from those people. The adept and the hype, and it always has. Always.
Yeah,
are we going to take that position? Can we start over and do that again? I don't know. I don't think it'll be done in our lifetime. And the things that we want at least take 500 to 700 years to get. If we were all to pull our tabs up right now, quote unquote, you know, figuratively speaking, because that's not all of us. If we were all to do those things right now, and the woman folk were just pleasant as can be, it would still take 500 to 700 years to get back on top. Still, we could have got that in reparations by the time 12 a.m. hit. It would still take that long because you have to go into development and you have to shed off the old character
right.
The influences and growing with the influence and the generations of influences and the generation of influences that have changed the world and our circumstances bit by bit.
All right. Excuse me, everybody. I wanted to talk about this time when Joe Biden and Barack Obama got together to rally up the vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as they were running to become, you know, president and vice president. And at the rally, Stevie Wonder, he had just finished performing right after Barack Obama made a short speech. And then Joe Biden, he made a short speech too. And then right afterwards, that's when Stevie Wonder said this.
I hear that someone wants to give Black Americans, African American people, a holiday. They want to make, supposedly, Juneteenth the holiday. Okay, I think we can do better than that. I know Joe Biden will do it. Give us reparations. For the work that we've all done for the last 400 years, unpaid.
All right, so that was that speech. And then leading up to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, running to become president and that, they were making their campaign promise reparations for Black people. And this was a thing, and everybody was getting excited. Oh, they got reparations on the ballot. And everybody was, you know, like, okay, you know, we should vote for Joe Biden because he's going to give out reparations. And so even after he became president and all of that, they stopped talking about reparations. They didn't even mention it anymore. It was a false campaign promise to get your vote. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Alpha Male.
Yeah. on top of that, even when he met with the Black clergy and they, you know, had a few, I won't call them demands, but a few solutions to a few problems, he basically told them, well, that's not important to me right now. You just sit down and wait.
No, well, there's your answer. Well, is his paycheck a problem right now? Is his personal paycheck a problem right now? Is his limo being taken him back to his hotel? Not coming up on time, not picking him up, is that a problem? He's worried about it. When someone, here's one thing I've learned. When somebody tells you who they are or show you who they are, you got to believe them the first time.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever conversation or dialogue you engage with these guys after that, I guess that would be up for speculation at that point.
And Justice, even in that campaign, like I was saying earlier, I don't think they just Kamala Harris and just picked up that mantle and started running with it. But I think there was I think that woman name was Elizabeth Warren. I think she started that damn stuff about the reparation when she was campaigning. She started it off. Then later on, Joe Biden up grabbed a hold of that. And that's what I want to throw out too. Just say this. Just look at this, all right? Because the Democrats are the one always keep playing this reparation game. Just say right. If they took over the Congress and the Senate. Now, when they pass this damn reparation bill, they got the vote to come up with the budget. They had a Senate who got to sign the checks. Now, if they had all of that power, they had the Congress and the Senate, and they the one to keep pushing this. Will they sign the check to go ahead and cut it for reparations? I think the hell not. But would they?
No, they would not, because all their money is for abortions and sex changes. So no, you won't get it.
There you go.
He's got abortions and sex changes.
Right on.
You know, I remember when people said that there would never be a black president, and then we got one. That when we turned, like him or not, yeah, it happened. Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, say my personal feelings about it, but it happened. Nevertheless.
What they say, this still up for debate.
You say what now?
What they say, that's still up for debate, but go ahead. I hate
you. Right. And I also remember when, I was a kid in grade school and I was hearing about the civil rights. And then as I got older, they had like movements in Africa where they were vouching for their own black prime ministers and presidents and whatever leader of dignitary position or whatever it was all happening at the same time. And now we have an influx of the Chinese merchants and companies who have opened and expanded in Africa, all throughout Africa. It's not a Pacific one or two countries. Actually, it might be even several. I think that the world is investing, well, at least they've shown, China has shown that they're investing in black male, some form of black male development, a reform, where there's a different language. I don't even know if they're opening temples over there. Are they? I don't know. I think the same thing can happen here. I think a trend can happen here. Will it come in the form of reparations? I don't know. But it's going to come in the form of something. I mean, look at the way all these rappers are getting arrested.
But I go back to something. And Obama, to something I just thought about it. What did they have the Congress when Obama was in there? I've just thought about something. Didn't they have the Congress and the Senate? I forgot how they called the House and the Senate. Didn't he have both under his control at one time?
That I do not remember.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought I've heard that before. They had the Congress, they had the whole Congress, and they had the Senate. But they never.
For the first 2 years.
Go ahead, Joseph. I know you know. What happened?
You're saying when Barack Obama first became president?
Yes, sir.
And the Democrats had the House and the Senate as being in control of both the House of Representatives and the Senate?
That's what they call it. Okay,
that was for the first 2 years, and then in the midterm, they lost both House and Senate.
Oh, so he could have, if he wanted to, they could have brought up reparations. You think that would have been the time that the black man, as people want to say, he's the first black president, he would have had an opportunity to get that passed, wouldn't he?
But he said, at the time, it was a non-starter. Because being the first black president and to come into that seat with that as, you know, a mainstream thing to do, that it would piss off a whole lot of people. and for and especially that he's black and he's the first one to do it, and it would just it would be political suicide, and so you know there's all kinds of explanations that Barack Obama has now for why he feels that reparations should be awarded to black Americans, but then he can explain why he couldn't do it in his first term or second term because it wouldn't guarantee him to win the next, you know, 4 years as the president. And then on the way out, he just didn't have any, you know, any desire to put that on any type of agenda to get done on his way out of office. So, you know, it looks like he didn't do anything.
And you know what? And that's a damn shame that the black man felt that he was going to be ostracized for trying to get something for black people. But now the black man go down in history as the first black president goes down in history who passed and who brought this abomination into America. Has same-sex marriage laws in America, but the black man couldn't do nothing. He couldn't tell.
He couldn't
bring reparation in here, but he can go in and bring this degenerate bullshit in talking about LGBT shit, right? Oh, wow.
Right. Mm. To guarantee the vote. To guarantee the next 4 years.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I thought was funny about all that? He was getting on stage and you know, he's kind of strutting and smiling, and then people are asking him questions like, oh, yeah, I listen to Marvin Gaye and Aretha Franklin, too. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. I just shook my head and put my hand over my face like, oh, my goodness, here we go. I felt like I was watching Soul Man, yeah. But C. Thomas Howell or something.
Yeah, boy. What did you say, brother, after me?
Well, we talk about black-on-black crime. Do you know the Obama administration killed more black people than any other mass murder in history? He was known as...
Remember what I said about what was happening when in the 60s when they started getting those black leaders back in Africa? Remember when I said that? A whole lot of black people started dying once they got their black electives into office. There were like coups and guerrilla regimes and all kind of ill-mannered militias against the people. And
yeah,
I also remember those were
CIA plants. Those were CIA plants.
Yep.
Hey.
And also,
what you talking about? Go ahead, Alpha Male.
Go ahead. No,
Afrikaan Alpha Male. Is that what you talk about, like the Afrikaan stuff he started?
Well, yeah, that, and, I mean, he was known as the Drone Ranger. You know what I mean? Like,
Drone Ranger.
And they killed Americans. And here's a peculiar thing. Now, people talk about Asia, well, let's say China going into Africa, right?
Yes,
but do you find it peculiar that none of this took place until they murdered Gaddafi?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, he went from Man of the Year, Time Magazine, everybody was in love with him, to being the worst human ever in existence, and marked for death. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know him personally, but from what I understand, he was actually trying to help his community, the people around him. Now, somebody said, oh, no, you can't be sovereign because our new goal is to be, what's this new thing they, globalist. So they had to take out all the people who wanted, you know, sovereignty to make, you know, establish cultures and things of that nature. They just killed them all. Now the globalists can just go in there and do what they want to do.
I would presume also he didn't have enough friends also, or the right kind of friends. politically speaking. And I'm not just being like a wholehearted, genuine, warm friend. I meant like, how can I say? Oh, man, what's wrong with my words? Well, I guess figuratively speaking, friends. Political.
You talk about Obama didn't have the right friends?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm speaking on Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
I don't think he had enough powerful, quote-unquote, friends to back him. You know, you don't have the, I guess it was the big two, Russia or China. If you don't have at least one of them, you might as well just say, hey, man, shit. Damn. I don't know. I don't know what to do in that situation.
He had the United States as his friend. Was there not a picture with him and Obama shaking hands, smiling and skinning and grinning until Hillary Clinton funk ass decided, I want to kill him, because that was her who wanted to invade Libya. That was Hillary Clinton's plan. Yeah, but Barack Obama was over there shaking hands, smiling with him like Farrakhan and shit.
But it was under his term. How would they be able to execute that if it's not under her term? She didn't even have a presidential run.
She didn't have to be. What was she? The Secretary of something?
Defense.
Yeah, that was Hillary's bullshit. Because you remember her and Barack Obama, they didn't get a fucking loan. They didn't get along. You know them Clintons run shit. Barack Obama was really the puppet for real. But now he ran some shit too. But that was Hillary's shit, because he even came out and admitted it. That was something Hillary wanted to do. That was her shit. He just signed on to it. All of them are globalists, so, you know, they all in together with Alpha Male. Was saying they're globalists. But that was her thing to take out Gaddafi. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, people don't even want to mention, that's when the people the Africans started being enslaved by the Liberian, the people from Liberia. Goddamn, I can't get my words right. Look how they started enslaving those people in there. But that was Hillary's shit.
And when the people started fleeing, the countries, they were subjected to forced sterilizations. So if they left Libya and managed to make it to, is it real or Ukraine or any of those places? Well, they were secretly sterilized.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no friends.
And, no, sir.
like we just don't. We don't. And everywhere.
Well, the only way you can get friends is if you go outside and play. That's the only way you're gonna get friends.
But what if your neighbors have all their kids in every position? When you go out to play, you think you're dealing with somebody that's neutral or individual, but they were sent there by the enemy to make sure that you don't get to what they would call uppity. So we can run away from this country. We could all jump, grab our passports and roll. But guess where you're going to go? You're going to go where they have another CIA plant.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to end up in the same, well, not quite the same, but almost same situation.
Yes, sir.
And if the plant they put in place, all of a sudden, you know how they say some people find Jesus in jail. So
yes, sir.
if all of a sudden one of their puppets decide, you know what, I feel awful about what I'm doing to the people, and I'm going to do things right. The next thing he's going to hear is black helicopters and explosions.
That's right. Yeah, ask Saddam Hussein how good of a friend him and America were. Oh, you can't. They killed him. God damn, my bad. Because remember, Donald Rumsfeld, I have still documents and papers still I have on. But Donald Rumsfeld and Saddam Hussein was actually business partners. I have pictures with him sitting down. Because, again, we talked about this on Friday show, because a guy who called in, they was talking about going back. I remember, I think I was like fourth or fifth grade, when they had the Iraqi-Iranian war. And then remember now the Ayatollah Khomeini, Remember, the United States put him in as a puppet. But then when they wanted to get rid of him, they actually put Saddam Hussein in power to overthrow him. And to then later, you know, when the Kuwaiti, Saddam got too big for his britches, like fuck it, we got to get rid of you. That's why they all, that's why they did. That's the same way they put the guy up in Afghanistan. They put him up as a puppet leader. They do the same thing. They always do that. That's so, it always happens. Like you said, CIA was the one who created Al-Qaeda. Oh, another mm-hmm. person you can ask how good of a friend United States is. Why don't you ask Osama bin Laden how good of a friend United States is? Because then he again, after the Cold War with Russia and Afghanistan, I said, so hey, they don't give a fuck about you being friends. You can play on the playground with them if you want. As soon as you turn around, they're going to bust your head with a goddamn baseball bat.
No doubt that this country has a record of, burning friends, burning bridges. But is it to the point where nobody wants to deal with the United States? Is it at that point?
You're another crook. Yeah, you can deal with them until you can play. You can deal with United States, but you got to play by their rules.
Right.
You can deal with United States, but you got to play by their rules. That's it.
Yeah, I know that it can come down to a large casualty group. They still have friends. So what are they just saying? Hey, I don't want you as a friend anymore, and just pushes them down and, they rub them out? Or is it something with the finances? Is it the trades over the ocean? Is it the currency? Are they not buying into the U.S. dollar? How does their market affect the U.S. dollar? Does that come into the equation? Or is it just a clean backstab because it's just some type of uncontrollable spontaneous movements by this country?
United States is one of those friends, like if you're their friend, if you play with you play along with their game. We cool with you as long as you play our game. But go ahead, I heard Alpha Male going to say something.
Because it's real simple. I mean, why do we pay taxes? Right? Because they got more guns than we do. It ain't got nothing to do with friendship.
That's right.
9 times out of 10, they enter into these agreements to stay alive. It has nothing to do with making the United States their friend. Because, I mean, like I said, you cannot take the deal or the little black helicopter is going to show up. I mean, that's no threat.
Yes, sir.
I
and what they say in the court of law, we are under stress and duress. We do it because we're under stress and duress. If I don't pay my taxes, the IRS gonna come out to me, lock my ass up, throw me in jail, and take what little everything I do. So you're being forced to do shit. It's like notice a lot of some of these other countries. Like, oh man, for a matter of fact, some of these African nations, they told Obama and places, don't come over here with that homosexual bullshit. Now what do they want to start doing? Put sanctions on these countries. They want to put sanctions on them because, like, wait, we ain't with that homosexual. Don't bring that shit. Remember, I forget the brother's name who died. He told Obama, we could talk. You can come over here and talk, but don't come over here talking that homosexual bullshit. Keep that rainbow shit over there.
What happened to that guy?
All of a sudden, that guy died, didn't he? Mugabe. I think that's his name.
Mugabe, yeah.
He's dead now, huh? And then those countries that they trying to put sanctions on the people, talking about the human rights violation. Yeah, see? So that's how America don't have friends. They have motherfucking, they have people that they got, like I said, under stress and duress. That's why.
Yep.
And a lot of people now reading a lot of American people go along with their bullshit because, like I said, they keep a lot of American people, I'm going to say most of blacks too, they keep us sedated. Reading us, that's why they passing all these legalized drugs and passing because they keep your ass so high, you don't know what the fuck going on. You like, hey, it's cool. I don't give a fuck. I'm, like you like Cheech and Chong. You so motherfucking high, you don't know what they doing.
Yes. And then if you think about what they feed them in the media, I mean, it's just degenerate. It's degeneracy after degeneracy after they change the frequency of the music to where, you know, music used to make you want to get up and dance. Now to make you want to get depressed and get high. It's so many.
It doesn't really do that. it makes you want to go out and just shoot people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right.
What kind of witchcraft?
Because I run into a whole bunch of backseat thugs.
Oh my god, that is. Yeah, I've seen that. Like, I think when I became a teenager, or I was becoming a teenager, they started cursing in rap music. I'm aging myself saying that. So I'm like in my mid 40s now, and I've been seeing that as a kid, you know, and you know it's something. I think that that's the young black male life. It's
a demonic spirit.
Oh, shit. Nah, man, it's bigger than that, man. Yeah, I mean, you got things pulling at you in every fucking door. And it ain't like, it's not like cut and dry where you can say, where you can look up and see, okay, colored bathroom, white bathroom. Okay, I go to the colored one. It's not that cut and dry.
Oh, I missed that part. I missed that part. My bad. I was still stuck on the today's music.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say today's music. I mean, it just has an influence that's like beyond. You know, this is who we look at for our fashion, our esteem. They know what's in. They're young too, but they're a little older, but they're still young, generally. And they have the things that we want. Why not emulate? Everybody emulates after someone that has something, that's achieved something that they want. Everybody does. But it's just in this context, it's not exactly a good thing. Shit, man. You know, just looking back at it, it's just like, wow. And I was the biggest Tupac and Ice Cube fan in history.
And I never was.
I never
was a fan because my Gator would go off.
Damn.
And I was, yo, don't no man act like that.
Which one?
Both. Listen to some of the lyrics, and you'd be like, huh? Don't no dude.
Oh
say
yeah, looking back at it, I mean, I would never wear a bandana tied around my head with leather overalls. No. Looking back at it, you know, back then it was like, wow, this dude's daring, and he's got all the ladies, and he's got, you know.
Hey. Hey, what did y'all talk about? That rap?
Tupac and Ice Cube, wasn't it?
Tupac was gay. Yeah, Tupac was gay as hell. He got raped in jail because you remember he went to jail on some rape charges back in the day, and then they say when he got to jail, they say they had to call his family because it was like he got sent to infirmary. And you know when you get sent, when something happened to you in any jail, they have to report to your nearest family member. So they pretty much said that Tupac got raped in jail. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
Now, when you say that, I remember in Living Color, right before it went off the air, and this is the first time I actually heard a joke about Tupac, and they were making fun of his sexuality. And I was, back then, I was kind of confused, but I watched it again a couple of years ago. But back then, I'm like, wow, why are they talking about him like that? And then it was consistent. Anytime somebody made a joke about him, always jeering at his sexuality. And then looking back, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, why would they know? And why would they make that particular joke about him?
Because some of us have very discerning spirits. I was a 3-year-old homophobe, as they would call me, a homophobe toxic masculinity at 3 years old.
At 3 years old. God damn, Al.
That's wild, you know? Yeah. Well, yeah, the music is I listened to it back then. Maybe a little bit in the 2000s, and I went old school for a minute, and then I found SoundCloud, so I get to listen to people who are undiscovered artists, you know, who just have a beat machine, and maybe they're really talented or not, and I listen to them, but, like, the big brands, maybe Drake, you know, driving down the street, maybe one of his songs comes on, or one of the other ones or something like that. You know, you got a catchy tone, but I'm not listening to, oh, this motherfucker right here, I'm going to shoot him, and then I'm going to shoot the other guy, and then they rhyme it up, and they got some weird-ass beat with it, and it's just fucking disgusting.
I ain't listening to none of them.
Yep. No, y'all wouldn't believe the money I turned down because I refuse to play certain certain types of music for certain types of artists.
I can believe it.
Yeah. Oh, I stand on my square. I'm not a hypocrite. If I say no, it's no forever.
Yes, sir. I can believe it. Dad, you know what I tell you? I listen to, I turn on me some goddamn Ronnie Mills out there. Like, shit, I listen to country music.
Do you?
Hell yeah. I play me some goddamn country.
Hey, I listen to when it comes out of all that, I listen to all the shit that I listen to is pretty much Phyllis Hyman. I listen to Angela Bofield. Shit,
You like them Bulldaggers, Dave.
Goddamn. I listen to Regina Bell, shit like that. I don't listen to that. That's shit I listen to.
What about Salsa and Merengue? You forgot them?
Cool.
Oh, I love me some Bossa.
No, Salsa and Merengue and Reggaeton.
I'm more Bossa.
That's what Chief Rabbi like. He forgot his Spanish music.
Ain't you Celia Cruz grandson, Justice?
Justice who Cruz? What?
Celia Cruz.
Yeah, I'm her grandson. I wouldn't mind being her grandson. It would be an honor.
And Celia Cruz looked like a damn old black dude in a damn wig and a dress, too.
I can give y'all a song y'all need to listen to, and it's going to crack you up. And it's by Johnny Guitar Watson. It's called Ain't That a Bitch.
Damn.
I've heard that song before.
I don't think I heard that one.
I've heard that's a real mother for you, too.
That's all I heard.
What's the name of that for what?
It's Johnny Guitar Watson, and the name of the song is Ain't That a Bitch.
Go ahead and play that, Cheap Sunray. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, I can't holler to the copyright music. I can't holler to
like
do
one
that
minute
no
of
on YouTube.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
I stopped doing the YouTube. I could. I want to throw something else out here right fast, y'all. I heard something today, man. It's crazy as hell. I tell you, these goddamn Democrats is crazy. Well, they know how to play black people. They is crazy as hell. Heard something today. The Shelby County commissioners here, right? You know, they trying to change something. I don't know if they're going to go ahead and do it, but they voted on it and it passed. Amendment to change from President's Day, I guess, for county workers to stop calling it President's Day and start calling it family. I think they said Family and Friends Day because they said they was going, talking about George Washington and a lot of the presidents, they were racist and all of this stuff. So they no longer want to call it President's Day. But I think it's Family and Friends Day. And they voted on it and held it. I think it passed. I said, well, these people crazy as hell. But like one guy said, hey, why don't, you know, why won't they, like other things they was trying to, should have been voting on. Like one lady came to one of the county meetings. She was like, hey, talking about all the potholes in the street. He said, that could have been something y'all could have been really just focused on. But changing it, President's Day, because you're trying to say the president was racist. And I mean, goddamn, now Family and Friends Day. But that's how they do it. Now they got black people, like just you playing that clip. I think it was you playing a clip talking about Juneteenth and all of that bullshit. That's just crazy.
Right.
It's crazy.
I never heard anybody say they were against the Juneteenth parade. Can you enlighten me? What is that about?
I really don't get into it. I mean, I was looking at it. I never really did it at first. Then I started looking at it, but then I'm like, how the hell with that shit, man? Fuck Juneteenth.
Would it just rub you the wrong way or something?
No.
You said,
especially this time when I saw Biden, I'm so called, start throwing it out. I'm like, oh, hell no. It's another Democratic ploy. So I'm like, nah, I ain't Biden. I ain't going with this. And then it wasn't for everybody, because you think about Juneteenth. Okay, if y'all had a day, you might say, okay, well, that's when Lincoln, as they claim, that he emancipated. Okay, should that been the day? And then you look at it, Juneteenth, that was just what happened down in Texas with them. They found out they were so-called free. But that didn't have to do with everybody else who was
well, the thing about that
already
was
emancipated.
That, yeah, you know, the reason why is because everybody didn't know. So if it was a small percentage of the rest of the people who were supposed to be free, and it took 3 years and some change for them to get the notice, or at least get people to acknowledge that and to let them out of the bondage and whatnot, or the, you know, the slavery part of it. And so if it took 3 years for the rest of us to all that had it for 3 years, and then so now you say, okay, we're going to claim this here date, Juneteenth, because it was somewhere between June 15th and 19th, and nobody was really sure exactly, so they kind of say Juneteenth, but they now going to say that 19th was really the day it all happened, that they found out
bogus.
That they were free.
But Justin, it's still bogus. You know why? You're going to say that's a little, because you got to go back. The Choctaw Indians and the Cherokee was still holding people in bondage. They had to make them motherfuckers let black people go. So they're still bogus. If you want to say Juneteenth, the Choctaw and the Cherokee were still holding people in bondage after then. So
okay,
it's,
so I
it's
have
still
you know,
some bull crap.
Yeah, I was, you know, I tend to want to agree with you if that was going on at the time. But, you know, if
What was the labor task for a black slave under a Cherokee or a Choctaw or whatever you said? Cherokee,
because
what was the other one?
They had people in bondage too. You look up the history. They had black people in history. I mean, slavery too, chattel slavery too, almost chattel slavery.
What did they have them doing? I don't know.
I can't tell you that. I don't know. I wasn't back there, but I know it's on record. They had so-called as they had black slaves as well. You look at, they had what they call the five civilized tribes. Hell, a lot of them fought in the Civil War to uphold slavery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, but
yeah,
they're going to tell
part.
The whole history. They need to go ahead and tell it all. So we fall in Juneteenth. That's just what happened with those people in that part of Texas just found out. Hell, they didn't have how is that a national holiday just because they found out? See, it's a bunch of bullshit that they always get us entwined with to make us celebrate shit. And now everybody will be celebrating it. That's another thing, the whole black folk to the Democratic Party again. Oh, man, they don't gave us a national holiday. And that ugly-ass flag they get created. Damn, what the hell is that? Come on, man. It's just another ploy again. You know, that's all they do.
Can I add another unbelievable story?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's casinos in Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had this rule that if a woman wants to wear pants, like, you know, during the winter, because they normally make them wear dresses, right? So if a woman wants to wear pants because she's cold, she has to change her, you know, where it says female on your application. You have to change it to non-binary before they allow you to wear pants.
Whoa.
What? Yeah. And they're doing it. They're like, well, I need my job. And I was like, well, hold up. Can't you put shorts under your skirt? Because changing your situation to non-binary, you know what I mean? That's more destruction of the family. You know what I'm saying? I don't get.
Wow.
You hear anything about that, Justice?
I have not, but you just told me something I'm going to investigate.
Yes, please, because I heard secondhand. I wasn't
and that's in
there.
Philly?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I work right near the casino. I go right over there and ask one of them casino workers personally if that's the case and what's the situation, you know, and I'll report back to you next week.
That's
yeah,
cool.
And whatever this casino is, it also does online betting. So I'm not too familiar with casinos and gambling, but I heard the story, and I was like, and I don't see why dude would lie.
Mm.
That's the Sugar House. Mm-hmm. It's the Sugar House Casino.
Is that the one?
That's the only one right here downtown. Then you got Parks Casino right there outside the city in Bucks County.
Mm.
Yeah. I ain't going to the building.
Pardon me?
I'm not going to the Sugar House.
Yeah, Philly.
And you said Philadelphia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That's great. I got to ask y'all a question right fast. You know, I was talking about changing the holidays right fast. Let's see, we got about less than 10 minutes. Now, y'all remember when they was taking down all of these statues? Now, all these people, they were saying these statues were racist and all of this, most of Black Lives Matter and all that was that. Now, if you think about all the statues they was taking down, when most of these Confederate statues Confederate statues and Democrats, people who are the other Democrats, because the Federals now, they were Democrats. Is that not true?
I believe it is. Not 100%, but I believe so.
Because they took down, I know here in Memphis, they took down the guy, Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a Confederate general, Democrat. It was another one down here. It was civil rights. They took down all the civil rights, the cannons they had down on, like, downtown on a street called Front Street, where they used to have the Civil War. Mm-hmm. They had all the cannons. They took down all of that shit. Damn, it was a guy. I can't think of his name. Robert E. Lee. Was it Robert E. Lee? One of them. I know he was all the Confederate generals. They took down all of that stuff. But I'm like, hey, what y'all trying to hide y'all history for? Democrats, because that's what those people were. They were Democrats. And y'all the one hollering, there's a racist. They were racist. Hell, but all of the ones y'all were taking down were damn Democrats. So they're trying to hide their history with Black folks and don't want to let them to know. All them damn Confederate statues you talking about, all of them were Democrats.
Yep. To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah. Let
me add something to that. that's why I love our older men. Wise men. Because the dude said, it's funny. He said, if you look back in history, he said, in every situation, that it's like Black people leave a place and they come back white.
Hmm.
He said, that's one of the tricks that everybody falls for. So it was like, Malcolm was telling us about the Dixiecrats.
Yes, sir.
All they did was they all just switched sides. They changed their name. You know, it's like it's so confusing now. What's the difference between a Hebrew, Israelite, and I tend not to say Jew because the letter J didn't even exist at the time.
Yeah. A Yahudi.
Okay.
Yeah, Yahudi. That would be the ancient name.
Yeah, so it becomes confusing, and they just change names. He said, you know, and this dude is real old. Like, and he was like, yeah, he said, black people left and they come back white. He said, it happens everywhere. You know, matter of fact, Japan, do you know how many black folk were originally in Japan before they whited it out? You did, man.
Yeah, like I said, his name, like I said, the same thing. Like I said, one time we were, it's all the same. Like they said, the Hebrew is like, that's quick, that's easy. It's the same people. It's just a name. It's just whatever name. That's why you see some Hebrews say they don't like, they might say we're Hebrew Israelites. Some say just call us Israelites. But then you go to Jew, because that'll be, that was just one of the tribes. And that might just deal with the southern kingdom. So it's just, it's still the same people. But hell, just like you said, like us, or just was talking about earlier about the birth certificate, same people, but then when they just changed it, at one time we was called Negroes, Coloreds, and Afro-Americans, African-Americans. You talk about the same people.
That might be on there. That could be on your
label. It's just, only thing is just a label. This is it.
But look,
and that's,
I found a list.
Just watch the labeling now. But it's the same people. It just, people will make it different, because like you said, it was no J. I take that back to Hebrew. They said Jew, but it was been Yahuda. But it's still the same thing. We just got a modern term of it. Like the word in, they're using the word Messiah, or no, most of you here say Christ. They take it back to the word Messiah, which is another form of Christ, which is the English, because Messiah is English too, which take you back to the Hebrew, Mashiach. We just transferred, like most people like talk about Arabic. I don't worship the God, the Muslim God, because his name Allah. That's Allah is the Arabic word. If I just said God, it's the same like I might just say hell and shit. I don't see. They might say Elohim. They might transfer and it says God in English. Hebrew, I mean, yeah, in Arabic, I might say Allah. It still would transfer. You talk saying the word God. It's just language. We just transfer into different language how we translate it. And that's what it is confusing with people. People make it confusing and so difficult sometimes when you listen to different people. If they just simplify the shit, hey, man, this is what it means. Ain't nothing too difficult. That's why people be arguing about the tetragrammaton, the YHWH. There's no vowels in there. So you adding vowels. So, yeah, I might say Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yahweh, because I'm adding vowels. And I can pronunciate those, the tetragrammatons, what they call it, in different ways when I add the vowels. But it's the same thing, Yad Hate Wad Hey, or the YHW. It's like people say hotel. The only thing you got, HTP, or you got to put the vowels in it. That's why you hear some people say Hetapu. Some people say hotel. When you add, they add the vowels to pronunciate that HTP, because how in the hell you pronounce HTP? How you pronounce that? Just those consonants. You're not.
I have
to add the vowels. So,
that is interesting, because think about this. Now, our bodies respond to tone and frequency, right?
Yep.
So by changing and adding things, you actually destroy the vibration of that word. Mm-hmm. So it loses its effect.
But a lot of things we speak in English, you look at English doesn't have. Okay, I remember this going back with Dr. York, and he's right. When you hear notice, go back to the Buddhists, how they chant. I don't know how they chant. Was it Yoke Regio or something like that? They're chanting Arabic. Mm-hmm. When you saying your prayer in Arabic, you chanting. You feel the vibration in it. And certain Arabic, if you're saying things in Arabic, praying in Arabic, I mean, not Arabic, Hebrew, mostly you're chanting. English, you just, there's no form of chanting. That's why you don't feel the vibration. And so that's right. Why I remember Dadil, we used to learn about vibration and tone. In India, they have the om sound. Om. If you do that, you feel your body vibrating. English, we don't have a vibrating. It's not a vibratory tone with English. So all of those other languages, like Hebrew,
have you ever
is a vibratory.
Huh? Have you ever
Have you ever done any invocations or evocations or summoning in the English language?
Nothing but the prayer. I mean, but you know what I'm saying. The difference that I know when I used to practice Islam, I used to pray in Arabic. I felt it. You can actually feel the vibrations, feel the tone, even the Om sound. We used to do the Om. I felt the vibration. I used to have a toothache. And she'd be hurt so bad. I was like, God, I just tried everything. I'm like, damn. Something like that. God damn it, just do the Om. I started doing the Om sound. Om, just constantly doing it. And my damn tooth will stop hurting. But in English, there's no vibratory sound tune, you know, with that.
Well, you know, the acoustic guitar originally was a medical device. So they would stretch out the patient, lay them down, and play the notes until they found their healing frequency.
Yes.
What?
Hey, isn't that what King David did? King David played the lyre for, I think it was King Samuel.
That's it. That's why a lot of things I remember. This is a lot of things I learned when I was in Nuwabi. That's why we had books called Sacred Tones and Vibrations. And that's why I said the earth vibrates at a certain frequency. I know you know the music and stuff, so you know the tone, different tones. And that's why I said we have to get back in tune with the planet. I remember something else right fast. Dr. York was going into the lesson. He says, like, the animals, like especially like cats, they in tune with the – he says sometimes you can hear a cat just laying there and they're doing that purring sound.
Yeah.
It's like making a vibration. He's in tune with the earth. That's why it says that we have to – that's what we was always taught. We have to get back in tune with the planet Earth, because a lot of us now, we have shown the hell off. They said we're living in these concrete jungles like New York, Atlanta, and L.A. We're in these concrete jungles where we're really not being grounded. That's why some people tell you, man, get out there and take your shoes off and walk in the ground on the grass barefooted so you can ground yourself back in there. So we are out of tune with the planet.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot.
Yeah, and what people don't understand is Earth is just a spaceship. The Earth doesn't just stay in one spot. We travel through the universe.
Yes,
so that would make it a spaceship. Now,
all the other planets are traveling with us?
Yes. That's why you have the expansion, like, constantly happening. It's all moving. And matter of fact, we're in a position now that we, in the solar system, where we haven't been in 26,000 years. That's why you're getting all these eclipses and planetary alignments. So we're not stationary. They try to make it seem like we're stationary and everything just is, you know, you can basically stick a pin in it and it'll keep doing the same thing. But no, we actually travel through the universe on this spaceship. Now, my point is energy.
Now, you just said a lot. I mean, that was a whole lot. How did you just move on from that? What about those wormholes and black holes and what is it past the orb cloud and the fire galaxy? And what about all those, are we traveling through all that?
First of all, our understanding of black holes is backwards.
I don't really have a clear understanding of it anyway. But.
Oh, okay. Well, let me finish my basic point, and then if you have questions.
Okay.
Now, my basic point is that our energy propels the Earth in certain directions, right? So you have to have a balance of negative and positive energy. Now, when the overwhelming condition of people is depression and negativity, that actually changes the celestial poles. It actually shifts the spacecraft, right? So now, currently, mathematically, the the poles have shifted. So the tilt has changed. So that's why you're getting different weather patterns, strange occurrences, and things of that nature, because we're out of balance. There's right. too much negative. And it has to be negative, but it has to be balanced with positive. But right now, if you dare to turn on the TV, it's all murder, murder, kill, murder.
Negative, negative, negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was my point before I got to the other stuff.
Yes, sir. Damn, Alpha Bear. You know what? That'll be a Friday show right there. We need to get into some of this back on Friday. I know we finished recording. This needs to be a Friday show. Get into tone, vibration, and alignment. Because I had wanted to ask you an astronomy question. I had thought about dealing with the eclipse, Alpha Male, but shit, I forgot what it was now. But this could be a continue on a Friday with this one, because it's deep, like you're talking about.
Well, think about this before Friday. Why would they shoot missiles at the solar eclipse?
They shot missiles at it?
Yeah.
Three of them.
Damn. NASA.
And
I didn't hear about that one.
And they were spraying. They had high-altitude airplanes spraying chemtrails at the same time.
I know. I did see something like that.
Do you think they knew something?
Because I've met, it's crazy. Remember I told you my coworker, he was like, man, because I got in the trouble. He was at work. He's like, man, how in the hell are them people talking about the council and the goddamn eclipse? I said, what? Because I was like, you know, I said, maybe he reads some shit off, you know, Facebook or throw up anything. He's like, but he didn't tell me where he got this source from. He's like, man, that's crazy. He said, I'm trying to figure out, how can you cancel an eclipse? But he said that's what somebody had. They was thrown out there. I'm like, that's crazy. But then I told you how it got real cloudy that day, like it was going to rain. I was like, well, damn, maybe that's how they did it. I was thinking about the chemtree. I was like, maybe they're going to make it rain. I said, man, we ain't going to see it. But later on, all of it, it still was kind of cloudy, but it was like it was getting ready to storm. I was like, damn, ain't nobody going to see the eclipse today.
I have an article here that talked about what NASA shot up these rockets. The three rockets comprising the APEP mission launched on Saturday, October 14th at 10 a.m. That doesn't make sense because the thing happened on the 8th. So let me find something else here. That's talking about something else. I don't want to mislead anybody, but I'm going to pull up something real quick and to see why they actually did that, you know.
That's wild. There's
each planetary. Let's call them planets. Whether it's a sun, a star, or whatever, because the difference is one's hot and one's not, right? Now, each one has a particular frequency. So when they're all aligned, that's almost like a download and upload of energy, right? I've always known this. Scientists are just starting to kind of figure this out, and they're trying to disrupt the energy transfer. So, they're not doing this haphazardly. They know exactly what they're doing. Matter of fact, Did you know on the 8th they fired up that CERN collider, trying to create a portal?
No, what is that? What did you call it? What did you say it was?
The CERN. I forget the first part, but it's a.
I know the hydrogen collider. Yeah,
hydrogen collider.
Okay, mm-hmm. they smash atoms together.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're doing
smash atoms.
They're doing all this weird stuff.
Go ahead.
And then you had the Wiccans that
had you know, on private property, of course, but I don't, who told me about that? Anyway, now, they, you know what Wiccans are?
Yeah, when I was talking about all these different groups that I was talking to, so many of them, they were the overwhelming majority, at least in the last 5 to 7 years of my life. Yeah, so I'm familiar with a little bit of their teachings and a few individuals who practiced.
Okay, so they had this belief that if they got impregnated during the solar eclipse, that the child would be born with powers. So they got a bunch of
But I'm about to go to sleep, so I'm gonna tell y'all good night, and I'm out.
All right, then.
It is.
Sorry, everybody. Love y'all, brothers.
Love you too, brother.
Peace, Casper.
I just sent you some too, Dave.
Right on.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
But yeah, so there's just so many strange goings on. You know, it's hard to keep up with. Matter of fact, there was a comet that was behind the moon, no, behind the sun. And this comet, I mean, you know how when you see clouds, you see what you want to see. But this comet had like horns. So they named this, I'm drawing a blank. I must be getting tired. But not Lucifer or something. Well, the comet, I think they might have named it Lucifer or some crazy shit like that.
Damn.
But, yeah, so many strains going on because, like, I do believe there was a time that we could do things. I don't know what to call them, magic or just things we naturally did. Now, people come along, see what we do, and then they pervert it. They turn it into something demonic or just degenerate. It seems to always lead to some kind of sex and sacrifice.
Now you're in my field now. let me say this. There was always black people who practiced dark and white. And then, believe it or not, there were some that were pretty evil.
Yes, sir.
I could believe that. Yeah, I don't want to get too far into it, but yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways people can practice and open portals and use sympathetic magic, gray magic, other forms of sorcery, white magic, green magic, black, of course, celestial magic, and elemental magic. And, of course, a lot of the mancies of divination and scrying. I mean, there's all kind of different forms. So, yeah. man, that's pretty hard to say if I can converse. I would assume things, and I would say things can be tweaked a little bit. There's people who can create their own thing, and there's those people who try to channel a deity or some type of spirit or whatever, right. Good or bad, to do their bidding. Well, some of the things that are common, like voodoo, like I've heard of people using voodoo to cause harm against somebody who did something to them or somebody violated them, so they use one of them deities or those orishas or what do they call them? There was another name for them. Well, anyway, yeah, I've heard of people using them to, you know, get vengeance and revenge, and some let them solicit those entities for, you know, for help in their personal life or, you know, their marriage, their finances, you know, the usual, the stuff that people pray for.
Aria.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to read this about what NASA did and what they call this thing, because it's really going back into some Greek stuff here, the Greek names and stuff. So I'm going to read this to you real quick. NASA's atmospheric perpetuation around eclipse path, the APEP mission, named for the Egyptian god of the darkness and enemy of the sun god, Ra, will launch the three sounding rockets back into the moon's shadow during the April 8th total solar eclipse. The goal is to study potential disturbances in the ionosphere during a solar eclipse. It is an electrified region that reflects and refracts radio signals and also impacts satellites communications as the signals pass through. Team led Aaron Brajado of Embry-Riddle Aeronautic University, Florida, said in a statement, understanding the ionosphere, I can't say that word, ionosphere, and developing models to help us predict disturbances is crucial to making sure our increasingly communication-dependent world operates smoothly. And after the launch, the rockets will travel up to 260 miles into the ionosphere, each ejecting four secondary instruments that will collect information about charged and neutral particle density before, during, and after the eclipse. And this isn't APEP's first rodeo. The mission first launched occurred the 2023 annular eclipse, a dress rehearsal of sorts before the upcoming total solar eclipse. During that test, the rockets recorded interesting data, a dramatic drop in the ionosphere charged particles densities that could cause disruption to space-based communications.